Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
We'll be right back.
show number 1,364. Welcome as we get ready to sit down and get down with the chefs for 2+ hours. Serve up another heaping helping of good food for thought at Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. Ow! Soul Tree Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Brother Man Network. You get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. Professor Fred Whitty in North Kakalaki, and he's going to come up at the bottom of the half hour with some insight on what has transpired in the tragedy over at Elizabeth City with the assist of Brother Reggie. The Orlando Ledbetter and Sonic Cheryl Jones in Philadelphia. Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, lording over Western New York, doing his thing. Continuing the great success of his book, The Art of the Interview, Book One. And, of course, the rest of the brothers will be chiming in, and sisters, as we tonight, among other subjects, as President Biden is going to give you his How Am I Doing speech, as we're on right now. But a couple of important things that slipped under the radar that we really want to bring up. One of them has to do with student athletes and finally being able to get paid. Now, this was blasphemy to these bastards 10 years ago. And between the two of us, it's blasphemy now because, you know, they don't really want to pay these kids because you're getting an education. But what may be happening now has manifested into a bipartisan effort to grant these young people what's called NIL, name, image, and likeness. So if I'm playing for Musselvania U as a shooting guard, I might be able to work my own show and get a little bit of dough. And I say a little bit because the star power thing has not been inserted yet, but it makes room for it. And because of it, the NCAA had to do something because they knew they were powerless to stop the train that's been chugging from California to other places where that yoke of oppression isn't put on a student athlete anymore. You know, now it's more like, used to be a yoke, but now it's like one of those, you know, those electric bracelets and shit that, you know, they know where you're going and whatnot if you're wearing one. Something like that. Because it's not totally done yet. But this NIL situation is applicable to, say, a sport like track. Now, I have a soul patroller who gave me some insight, and she was a former athlete at San Diego State. If this had been initiated when she was a senior in college, very possibly she could have procured her own shoe deal. And depending on how fast he or she ran, they might have a chance to get into some invitationals and break into the European market that way. You know, because again, you're talking a sport like track. It may not write home here like it used to, but in Europe, it is still very, very big. After soccer, it is the most popular sport. So the key is that the athlete would not be punished for running fast. That would be the only reason that they would be interested in this person in the first place. You run like that and you want to come over here? Come on in. But we know a lot of people don't roll like that. And the NCAA, for years, has tried to play pimp daddy with that and cut everybody off at the nuts so that they could not do these certain things. Now, that's important because they can give you all the bull job they want about student athlete. No, you are a de facto employee of the university or institute of higher learning that you go to. So as an employee, you should be entitled to certain perquisites, and they should include a honorarium, small fee, whatever the hell it is, that puts some money in your pocket so you won't be eating ramen noodles and shit all 4 years. And also, it should give you the right to personalize yourself, which would be the flip script of what was done, unfortunately, to Ed O'Bannon and a lot of other college athletes when EA Sports pimped their ass out like $2 hoes and used their images and likenesses for video games. It took a long time before they even came to some settlement there. But make no bones about it, they were looking to do that exact thing. Cement that and keep that for themselves so that when somebody did roll up with some, yo, who's this? Looks like me, has the same number I wore in college. It copied one of my moves regarding how I shoot my jump shot. So who this? And the leader of the pimp cartel would say with a straight face, I don't know, we don't know who that is. We know it's a little blip that represents UCLA. Blip is right. Ain't that some blip? So the NCAA knew that they were not going to be able to stop this with the same level of bullshit they produced in the past. So something has to be thrown into the pot to the very least slow it down until they can decide what they can utilize out of this to make work for them. Now, as they're doing this, of course, there are players whose lives have been ruined by this. You know, we talked about Dez Bryant several times when he was playing football at Oklahoma State, and that his entire senior year was robbed by the bullshit that the NCAA was putting down because he ate dinner with somebody. Now, just think about how that's going to roll over the next couple of years. Compliance officers will be considered obsolete, unless, of course, they're in the black schools, because you definitely want to nail the black schools for any little fucking thing they could. They're not going to mess with the Division I schools. That's too much money. And as my man Tony says, there's a payroll which must be met. So the compliance officers will not be as important as they used to be. Add to that, if you're playing any team sport, everything changes. Now, they've switched it up a little bit where you can transfer somewhere, like you go to a school and, oh, you know, you get beat up by better players or something like that. You can transfer somewhere else. No problem there. But you're still having to deal with the reality that what you do is clearly connected with what kind of program the school has and how much money that school is making. So you're least likely to do that at the University of Kentucky or North Kakalaki in basketball. You're damn sure ain't going to do it at pretty much every SEC school in football. So you still have restrictions, not contractual ones, but restrictions which come from word going out. Because if you were at one school and you're trying to get to another, that former program can still kneecap your ass. Oh, yeah, he was here. Huh? He was all right, but he seems to have an attitude problem. Yeah, he's a bit of a malingerer. You know, he hasn't been arrested for any crimes yet, but he might be somebody that may not generate a positive vibe in the locker room. Little shit like that. That's how that poison gets in there and starts the bullshit. And the next thing you know, the kid is wondering, what the fuck am I doing here? Because he's not just relegated to the bench. He's been politicked out of a situation. So for every one of these kids who can see a possibility of earning revenue because of their name, image, and likeness, there's going to be one or more of them who are screwed by it, because the school will put in the poison tongue. And the next thing will be, oh, yeah, that guy, yeah, I wouldn't waste my time. That's how they get back at them. And if anybody would say that the NCAA is not pay you like that, I got some swamp land to sell your ass. They are very, very petty. And they would not hesitate to do a number. The possibility of earning some bread, fuck, I'm happy for the kids. They work hard enough. I'll never forget the look on that kid from the University of Connecticut's face after UConn won a basketball title. And he put everybody in check. And he was talking about they were hungry. And they were like, oh, yeah, you've had to drive to do this. Way. Drive my ass. I'm hungry. They starved our black asses because we couldn't get nothing to eat. A very real reality of the college game. Too many of these kids filling up on empty calories because they had empty pockets. Now, is there a possibility that'll change? I hope so, but I don't get the impression that that's not going to be something that comes off immediately. It'll be one of those deals that gets done once they figure out how to undo it. Sad to say, but that's what they got in their minds. Now, of course, you know, it's also the day before the NFL draft. So the executive board of the Lions Club is likely getting on with things now. But let's remember this. The draft is a reward for a handful of people who, I guess you could say, they beat the odds, because there are thousands of schools. I won't say thousands of schools as much as thousands of athletes who graduate from these schools every year. And some of them, the desire burns a little bit brighter than some of the others. The path to the next level is a little easier because they did the work here or because somebody intervened on their behalf there. It's one of those type situations. And tomorrow, I think my friend Tony McClain put this truly in context. It's American Idol for 32 kids because they will be the first round draft choices. They will get a guaranteed bonus of anywhere from 5 to 20 million depending on when they're selected. If the first player selected is a quarterback, which is very likely to be, then that bonus will be sitting somewhere around 20 million, and it will trickle down until around the end of the round, somewhere between 2 and 5 million for that last pick in the first round. So the buildup for this is huge. And the jockeying is even worse because you have guys who have, let's just say, a vested interest. Not in so much being right when they choose, but being right from the standpoint of, oh, see, I told you, this is the guy. No, this ain't the guy. But it doesn't matter because all that matters is certain people say his name when the time is right, or they get the check and they'll say, moving up the draft board is so-and-so from Blowjob University. Yes, this is the type of shit that we're dealing with. And unfortunately, they don't care. This is not going to die. This will be, how can I say this? This will be huge as this thing carries on. And when they go to the National Football League, some of them, they'll go into a league where maybe when they were younger and they had those Saturday dreams and Sunday afternoon dreams of playing football and watching football, but they also have to deal with the reality that they're going into a stacked deck. Some of those guys will be surprised to find the NFL ain't necessarily so. Well, it wasn't until I hit the clicker. We're having Gremlins issues again. But as we get closer to the bottom of the half hour, we shall see how things change up when my colleagues come in. This has been going on for a while now. Why don't y'all stop acting up?
The NFL is one of the most profitable companies in the United States. The Super Bowl dominates television every year, but some things work out just a bit too well. I'm not here to persuade or start an argument, but I'm Nick Miller, and on this episode of 10 Things, I give you 10 reasons the NFL is scripted. Number 10, shared income. The NFL shares 70 to 75% of its $10 plus billion a year income, including television, broadcast, internet rights, and licensing. Ticket sales are split 66% for the home team and 34% shared equally among all franchises. Only luxury box sales, which explains the need for new stadiums, local ads and sponsorships, and official pro shop sales are not shared. It would make logical sense to keep every team in the NFL quiet by splitting ticket sales even to the teams that weren't there. Number 9. Entertainment. While we refer to the NFL as a sport, they are in fact entertainment, a fact that the NFL has argued in front of the Supreme Court. In 2010, the NFL argued to continue to be in the entertainment business. Being entertainment means the NFL are legally entitled to do whatever is needed to entertain their audiences, such as creation and promotion of certain storylines. Despite arguments to the contrary, this makes the NFL on par with roller derby and professional wrestling. Number 8. Legal responsibility. The tickets you purchase to a sporting event proves this notion of it being entertainment. The Spygate lawsuit proves this. In this lawsuit, a New York Jets fan sued the New England Patriots for illegally, by NFL's rules, videotaping their opponent coaching signals. The lawsuit attested for the Jets ticket holder money back in 10 years worth of games. You can read the U.S. Appeals Court's complete ruling in this case down below, but the main conclusion was this. At best, he possessed nothing more than a contractual right to a seat from which to watch a NFL game, basically saying that when buying a ticket, you only get a seat. Let's be honest, you wouldn't sue the WWE for the authority screwing Daniel Bryan because it's entertainment, and it's the same for the NFL, but people don't accept it as entertainment. Number 7. Fixing games. There is no law against the league fixing its own contest. The two closest laws are the quiz show law, which prevents forms of entertainment like game shows of fixing intellectual challenges and questions. Key word is intellectual, which allows sports to be exempted from the law. The second law is the Sports Bribery Act of 1964, which only states that organizations like the Mafia are not allowed to fix games by betting or gambling on the events. However, the NFL can do what it wants. Number 6. Media. It is legal for the media to lie to us all. Don't believe me? Read the article below. If this can occur, do you honestly believe that ESPN, ABC, Disney, CBS, Fox, NBC, Universal, and Time Warner report truly and accurately on the sports they fund? The majority of these companies give the NFL alone $6 billion a season. Number 5. History. Contrary to popular belief, there have been fixed games in league history. On page 308 of Dom Modia's book, Interference, he lists over 70 games that have been fixed and the two referees involved in fixing. He also lists interviews with several NFL Hall of Famers who attest to games being fixed before. NFL refs are paid by the NFL and under contract to do what the league tells them to do, so this could be how the NFL scripts their season. Number 4. Players are paid to play, not to win. Win, lose, or draw, players are paid for just being there. With equal incentives, it would be easier to convince players to be a part of the NFL as a scripted sports entertainment company. Number 3, retirement. The Super Bowl is the NFL's biggest event of the year, dominates television, and no matter what happens, will have the nation's attention. But it doesn't hurt to add some drama. Several players such as Jack Reynolds, Randy Cross, Jay Novacek, Jerome Bettis, Mel Renfro, Forrest Gregg, Michael Strahan, John Elway, and Ray Lewis all retired after winning the Super Bowl. Number 2. Unreal Drama. In Super Bowl 34, following a play where Steve McNair miraculously sheds two Rams defensive linemen, find Kevin Dyson at the St. Louis 10. The Titans are left with 6 seconds on the clock, down 23-16. McNair makes the pass, and Mike Jones is able to make the play. Incidents like this occur in Super Bowls all the time. Just recently, the Seahawks passing on the last play, handing the win to New England. This adds incredible drama to spice the biggest event of the year. And number 1, NFL wrestling crossover. Several football players have made the jump to pro wrestling. The argument could be made that they were successful as they did have history as a sports entertainer. Just a few of the successful football players turned wrestlers are William the Refrigerator Perry, who main evented a WrestleMania, Dwayne the Rock Johnson, Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns. Did I leave anything out? What's your opinion on the topic? Let me know in the comments below. I'm Nick Miller, and this is 10 Things.
And Mr. Miller, we are left with the notion that, of course, tomorrow evening, the annual meeting of the Liars Club NFL category will commence. I got Radio Reggie and T-Mac here with me. Gentlemen, we are just reminding everybody that once these kids cross the burning sands to American Idol NFL-style tone, they have to deal with the reality that they will be going into the field of sports entertainment, as the professor likes to say. What say you guys?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Yep, good evening. And yeah, you can't get much more, sports entertainment than the NFL. And, tomorrow night is just another, we're just reminded of another example of that with NFL Idol, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. the NFL Draft tomorrow mm-hmm. night. Everything is done for TV. It's going to be, it's on NFL Network. It's on the mouse. And matter of fact, ABC is going to be on with it. And they're even, and I think they instituted this last year where they had the college game day guys do one as well. Yeah. I mean, they, put it this way. I think the pregame show started an hour ago for tomorrow night.
It's interesting that we are talking sports entertainment, but those young men entertained a whole bunch of notions before they had a chance to get to this point. Now, you think because the NFL now is admitting that it's sports entertainment, part of the interview coming out of the Underpants Olympics, also known as the Combine, would be for a front office to see just how pliable they would be in a work environment for their organization. Would they be get-along or go-along guys?
And you know what's interesting? Indeed now has sort of not horned in on this, but they use the draft as sort of like the ultimate job interview.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. It really does. The combine is one phase, and then the pro days are one phase, and then, of course, tomorrow night, because I guess what is it, 13 folks are going to be in Cleveland tomorrow, and just to hear their names to be called or not called or what have you. But, the jockeying for position and everything else has already been put there. We saw Teddy Bridgewater got traded to the Denver Broncos earlier today. So, more than likely, looks like Carolina is probably going to draft a quarterback, even though they went and got good neighbor Sam from Flushing.
Yeah,
but
it sounds like it.
It'll be tomorrow night will be interesting. To me, the draft really starts Friday. The real draft goes on Friday and Saturday when you see, these are where your future, this is where the future teams get put together. If you're, the real draft gurus, to me, watch the draft on Friday and Saturday. And, of course, we all are going to hope to see a few names from HBCUs get called this year. Luckily, they were able to have their combine this year. Of course, COVID took that away from them last year. And there's been a few players, I guess, that have put themselves out there. But, we'll see. More than likely, although I would love to be wrong, more than likely we probably won't see an HBCU kid's name called tomorrow. But by Friday, I would think, and at the very least, by Saturday, we should hear a few names.
We would hope. Gentlemen, we now have the professor on, and I want the professor to have control of the comm for the next minutes or so because we know there's been shit going on in North Kakalaki. I spoke with the professor early on. Professor, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I was trying to listen to your liberal president, but you want me to do this, so we'll work with this. We'll get back to him later.
Yep. Priorities, my brother. Anyway, we've known about the tragedy that has happened in North Carolina. Fred has been doing some dipping and dabbing and whatnot. We want to hear what he has to say along with Reggie. So, Professor, the floor is yours.
Well, first of all, it's been a week since this occurred last Wednesday, where this young man, Andrew Brown, was shot five times by several police, sheriff's deputies from Pasquotank County, North Carolina, which most of you probably had never heard of it before that, but it's also the home of Elizabeth City, which is the home of Elizabeth City State University, which is the most easterly HBCU in North Carolina. Supposedly, this young man was a drug dealer, and he sold some drugs to some undercover officer and several other things. But he was getting ready to leave his house, and they rolled up on him and jumped out of the vehicle with guns drawn, and they say that the vehicle was approaching the officers. They feared for their life, and one or more made contact. Well, if the car is moving forward, you jump out and run in front of it. Okay. All the shots from the front seemingly hit him in the arm. But there was a shot to the back of the head that is what killed him, because none of the shots that hit him from the front, they all, from what the reports are, the ones from the front all hit him in the arm, shoulder area. Nothing that would have killed him. Anyway,
right.
Seven officers were involved. Seven officers have been put on leave, which is probably a quarter or more of the sheriff's department for that county.
Damn.
Because we're not talking about a heavily.
Hey, professor, are they put on paid leave?
Naturally. You do not put sheriff deputies on leave without pay, not for stuff like this. Anyway, and since I know Rick is on, I'll go ahead and say this. Elizabeth City, for most North Carolinians, Elizabeth City is practically in Virginia. We've tried to give it to Virginia several times, and they keep giving it back. But literally, if you're familiar with the Tidewater area, When you leave Elizabeth City and go north on Highway 17 or 117, In a matter of minutes, you're in Virginia. In a few more minutes, you're in Norfolk. That's how close it is. And, you know, back in the day,
I want to add a friendly amendment, Professor. It's a road from Tidewater to 17. If you drunk or high, you will end up in the water. It's a winding one lane road.
And it's what's the term they use down there? It's part all of it feeds into the swamp. But anyway,
the swamp.
Okay, with all this stuff that has happened with this situation, there's been this rancoring about the body cameras and the video and all that kind of stuff. This is not to cover the behind of the sheriff, but there's a law that was enacted in 2016 by the state legislature that highly restricts the movement and release of body cam. Legally, even what the sheriff already released could get him put in jail if it was pressed, because it states that it has to be at the behest of the district attorney, and he has to go to basically make a plea to the court, this kind of thing. But he didn't do that, and it's apparent that he ain't fixing to do that. The judge did. They went before a judge, and the petition that went before the judge was actually by the news media. Well, try as they might, realistically, they got no dog in this fight. I mean, there's a procedure that it has to be followed, and they're following it pretty much. It's just a long, slow procedure. Problem is, they did release 20 seconds to the family and a couple of attorneys, and they're going to show in the next 10 or so days, they're going to show cameras from as many. We've already figured out there are 4 body cams plus a dash cam that has video. So they're going to do that over the next few weeks. Also, in the city police has these surveillance cameras in the area where this occurred. So there's already a video out of the deputies moving towards his house. They're in the back of a pickup truck, which is what they use for movement like this. And it's not uncommon. But anyway, there are like 5 or 6 guys in the back of a pickup truck moving past the surveillance camera, going to his house. And then there's a video from across the street where that you can see them surrounding the car after the shooting. Mm-hmm. Also, this is one of those situations similar to Brianna's situation. Okay, she was in her bed asleep. This gentleman who lived across the street, who has this chair that sits in his house that he sits in his house. Had he been sitting in his house in his favorite chair at the time, he'd be dead. Because the bullet came through the wall and hit behind where he normally sits.
Fred, if I can ask, how were they able to redact 10 seconds of that film? I thought they couldn't do that.
Oh, it's easy. I mean, if you got the software, you can do it. Because what they want to do is take and see, it's standard procedure pretty much, at least on a copy of the video to keep. See, part of what you're dealing with here is you got guys who've been doing undercover sales and all this kind of stuff. So the intent is good. It's just how it's used can be made bad. And when this law was put in motion 4 or 5 years ago now, there were people complaining about this very situation that could occur. And unfortunately, 5 years later, here it is. Because there's, I mean, you know, you want as much transparency as possible and all those sort of things. Problem is, this does not allow for transparency. This is a, you know, this law as it presently stands is a shipwreck waiting to happen. Because, in, you know, and see, it gets into what is public versus private. Had it been like the young lady, had it been like the young lady who took the now famous Floyd video.
Yep.
I mean, even if they had confiscated it, was little to nothing they could do. If she demanded it with her lawyer, she could have got it back. Well, in this case, this is police property of the county of Pasquotank, North Carolina. I don't know if there were any other agencies, you know, involved at the time.
Yeah.
It was botched, probably not. And see, what's not being said here, from the video I saw of the police, of the officers around the vehicle, there might be at least two of them that are black. It's hard to say. But, you know, it's out there now. And the best way I can say, certain facets of this, you have to let the process play out.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it looks flaky as all get out. And there are people who know where Elizabeth City is today that who think that's actually in the Atlantic Ocean. And the only two major things they have, well, there's three major things they have. There's a gypsum mine right outside of Elizabeth City. There's Elizabeth City State. And then you have the right up the road, so to speak, is the U.S. Coast Guard facility, which is where they fly out of for rescue, air rescue and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's not a lot in Pasquotank County, but and probably the most famous person we would know out of there would be Mike Gale, Johnny Walton.
Yeah, Mississippi State quarterback with the Eagles.
Yeah, and Jethro Pugh. A few others.
Fred, having said that, does this district attorney or prosecutor actually think he can get away with this shit? Obviously, people are pissed down there. And in the same manner as the George Floyd thing, everybody's watching. They want to know what the hell is going on. How are they trying to turn this off?
Well, again, even he is restricted to some degree because he has to protect the integrity of, as far as evidence goes.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing has to be in play. And see, if you do certain things, if this were to come to trial and certain things were done with the evidence that could prejudice a jury or prejudice, you know, the whole thing, there are ways these guys could walk because there's a certain things about evidence, especially when you're dealing with white folk versus black folk. There's a certain thing dealing with evidence you got to protect, and there's certain lines you cannot cross. And supposedly that's what the judge was trying to do. I think the way, because they were talking about, well, this guy who's representing the media, he's done 30-some of these, but then he did these 30-something in other states, not North Carolina.
I'm trying to avoid. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, it's just like some of the things we've dealt with in the last year with this COVID thing. Okay.
Right.
Remember Howard could not go to South Carolina because of the District of Columbia's rules on egress and all this sort of thing. And then, they couldn't go to South Carolina because it was really an open state, and they couldn't go to Florida. It's, you know, that was another open state, and so I think they ended up playing Delaware State twice, or something like that. But see, what you have to, again, you know, having studied some constitutional law, I mean, I understand the whole thing behind everybody wants to know. Sometimes you have to wait to know simply because, I mean, there's this whole rule of law thing. And this
right.
one, you, because see, had you not been dealing with private video with that young lady
mm-hmm.
with the floor case, and had that been body cam, it would have been the whole story would have been different.
That's true. Let me ask this: we had the Laquan McDonald case in Chicago, where they promised that woman $5 million sight unseen. And then we saw it, and we knew why they gave him $5 million to try to shut her up. We also saw things that happened with people like Philando Castile and, of course, George Floyd. What do you think everybody's really afraid of when they show the full video of what happened to Mr. Brown?
Well, in the words of the attorney for the one of the attorneys for the family, it was an execution.
Mm-hmm.
And see, here's the kind of stuff you don't know, and you don't know if he was somebody that had been handled that they couldn't control any longer. There's a whole myriad of things that go on because you know you've heard the term about strange bedfellows. Well.
Yep.
Who better than drug dealers and drug users to get for the police to get information on people who deal in drugs than a drug dealer?
Right.
And who knows? And see, it's been historically proven that after they use you so much, they think they've used you up, you end up dead or dead. You know, life in prison where you die. You slip on a bar of soap in the bathroom one day, or they
mm-hmm.
find you hanging with a note that's written in somebody else's handwriting. You know,
yep.
there's all kinds of things that can go on, and it wouldn't because I know from even situations locally, we got a drug dealer who Jesus will be back before he gets out of jail, but then he got rolled. I mean, his girlfriend rolled over on him because she saw him mistreat his wife. But they used that information to put him in jail for the next. I think they reduced it to 600 and something years.
It's not life.
And see, even though like Channel 5 locally actually has two reporters up there right now. I think they were switching in and out. But, you know, realistically, that Elizabeth City is not an area that's, you know, if it was any lesser situation, people in that area probably wouldn't even be hearing about it.
I heard
if
that.
If they had to botch it so bad, because, see, Elizabeth City is covered by Norfolk and the Hampton Roads TV station. We don't really, you know, they're outside of our sphere of influence for all intents and purposes. Because literally for us here, if it wasn't for the fact that Elizabeth City is and has been in the CIAA, so they play locally, they play Fayetteville State, they play Shaw and St. Aug, they used to play Central, and that would be their connection. And because they're in a different division, they would only play them once a year, in most cases. You play one on the road and one at home. One on the road, one at home, and you're through. You know, because the only, you know, in the Southern Division, before Claflin joined, you also had J.C. Smith and Winston, which meant you went all the way over there, play one on Tuesday, play the other one on Thursday, and you go back home.
So how has this upset the apple cart in Elizabeth City proper?
Well, for one thing, people know where Elizabeth City is now. For starters, some of that's good, some of that's bad. Because I noticed today there's a bunch of ministers that were down marching today, and one of them is from somewhere in Virginia. It's one of the rural towns that's outside the, I guess, Eastern Virginia area. I don't remember the name of it, but it's, I want to say probably between somewhere between Norfolk and Richmond. But because it's, I mean, I've heard of the little town because I've seen a sign to it going down 58, going towards Norfolk or Hampton. But still, you know, they had a bunch of ministers there today during the march. And, you know, it's not like being in Raleigh, but, the, you know, although there's protests going on in Raleigh, there's protests going on in some other places. They've shown about this specific case. But even the secretary, even the attorney general for the state of North Carolina, he, you know, as it presently stands, he has to be requested to join in on the situation. He has already suggested they, because you're talking about you're talking about Mayberry RFP pretty much, and because of that, you got Floyd and all the other people in the town. These guys, these good old boys, a bunch of buddies, all they're all members of the same lodge. You know, they go to the same clubhouse and all these kinds of things, and because of that, it's already appears that the DA is a little too close to this, and he needs to step aside. The other situation is the FBI has started looking into it also, so that could cause. I mean, because see that could see with it going to becoming a federal case, that would mean that somebody be from outside would have to take it, not you wouldn't have to rely on. You wouldn't have to be relying on NB's boyfriend trying to, you know, prosecute this case against Andy and Barney and Goober and them. And that's kind of what you ended up with right now.
Okay. Hey, Tony, Reggie, y'all want to throw something in the pot with this, with the professor?
You know, when I saw those clowns riding in the back of the pickup truck, it reminded me of what the Klan used to do.
It is so reminiscent of that era, because if you remember, if I don't know if you ever seen this video when it, that with Doug Williams talking about why when he was a kid, when LSU played, black people didn't walk down the street.
That's right. Yeah, I remember
that. You'd be walking down the street, you might get jumped on. They would throw. In fact, he got hit with a soda. One time he went to his grandmother sent him to the store, and the store like a mile from the house, and somewhere between her house and the store, somebody on the back of a truck hit him with a soda. You know, that's kind of what you were looking at. And like I said, you know, when I saw and see the surveillance film that was from that camera that they used for the pickup, that, you know, Reggie talking about, you can see with people on the back of the pickup truck. Apparently that must belong to the city, and they seemingly have not pushed one way or the other, because this was the sheriff's posse after Mr. Brown.
Wow. Before we
anything else that
change
that's not
subject.
Gonna require thought?
Yeah, I was going to say, before we change subjects here, you know, this is either the seventh or the eighth death of a black person since the Chauvin verdict. And I was kind of curious that nobody mentioned that little fact. Are we going to, and I said this is for everybody, do you think we're going to see more of this shit before somebody finally puts some brakes on it?
You might see some cops get popped. I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. I think it's gonna be a situation where they're gonna go ahead and start having sympathizers for police officers, and you can start seeing stories like somebody got shot and killed 30 years ago, and they're gonna bring the wife on like they did on Fox already. Oh, they're gonna start putting on a real thick talking about pro blue.
It's already. Yeah. Certain extent, it's already started. I know here in up in New York, there was a I guess it was like a 20 23-year police veteran that was run over by a drunk driver. And, you know, I listen to WCBS, you know, the all-news radio station a lot. And, you know, they were pushing that story a lot. And to me, it wasn't by mistake. I think there's definitely going to be a pushing of all of a sudden now trying to, you know, sympathize. And look, no one wants to see, you know, mindless whatever folks getting shot or whatever, but there's a lot of, you know, there's tension out there, but there's also a lot of angry folks because see, again, even with the verdict last week, how much changed? Nothing.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
right.
Nothing changed. You know, well, you know, it was literally, okay, there's the verdict. You know, you see all the bad actors for a few hours. And then basically we wake up Thursday morning and find out that there was two more shootings before, during, and after the verdict.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, see, here in North Carolina, we don't like to be left out. And there's a situation going on in Western New York.
We can't be left out. We got to join the party, too.
Sure.
No. There's an active shooter situation going on right now in Watauga County. Because, I mean, I will try to hopefully the president will hurry up and get through this speech so I can flip over to the news and see if they talk about it. But in
Good
Western North Carolina, so that you all know where Watauga County is, that's home of Appalachian State University. Somewhere not far from Appalachian State, there is a situation going on where this guy, they went to check on this guy, and there's two deputies in the house. One is still in the house with him. They don't know if he's living or dead. And then the other one was able to get out, and he was rescued. But the guy who did the shooting is still in there, and he's still ever so often he cut off. You know, he's put a few rounds through the window. They have deputies and equipment from several surrounding counties. Because I know they're in Watauga County, but there is a vehicle, one of the armored vehicles from Transylvania County, which is like one or two counties over. But, you know, there's no way at this point to determine if it's a black guy or a white guy. And the fact that they ain't going in to get him tell me it must be a
white guy.
Plus, he's in Watauga County and ain't playing football or basketball or running track. So in all likelihood, he white. But, and truly, it's unfortunate, but we're back to an old conversation that we've had here and I've had with others. You know, everybody gets all bent out of shape when they say, you know, defund or unfund the police. But the problem is you got police doing stuff they can't do. They're not trained for. They're not capable of doing. And with them on the scene, they cannot handle this. Because as soon as a law is broken with the police, that's where they revert to being a police officer. They're not social workers. And I heard this lady talking about, well, they take social science courses. They must forget them awfully quick. Because 9 times out of 10, we just had a situation here in the last 10, 15 days. Young lady, they were trying to get help for this young lady. She's like 14, 15 years old. And they put her in handcuffs.
Yeah.
And she, you know, it's what she did this and she did that, so she got to go to jail. No, she need to go to the psych ward. But no, they put her in handcuffs. And, you know, the mother, you know, was one of the situations almost like it was with one of my family members, you know. I got a nephew who was like 6'8", with the weight to go with it. And his mom was trying to keep him. The woman, nah, you can't control him. I can't control him. And he needs to be where he can get the help he needs. And that's what we ended up doing. But see, you can't do that with me. Because I saw him, he had a hearing one day. there were five deputies there for other hearing, five officers there for other hearing, plus two were out in the hall talking to each other. When he decided he was leaving, it took all seven of them to put him on the floor and put him in handcuffs. So you can imagine if that had been me by myself, I'd have had to shoot him. But, you know, this is the, see, this is where all the people who want to talk about, well, you can't defund the police. Defunding them would stop paying for them, because, see, they've used them as a shield for stuff that they don't want to take care of. You know,
right.
It's just like right now, they ought to have plenty of room because, hey, what's going on in the drug world?
Mm-hmm.
Crack is not the prominent thing now. It's opioids.
Nope.
And you got
yep.
white, that's, you know, those white kids on opioids are ill. They are not criminals like the Negroes were on crack cocaine.
Ooh,
never mind.
That's right.
You know, and
yep.
remember, never mind that the CIA is the one that came up with crack cocaine, but that's another,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's a conversation for a nice tip drink or two. Mm-hmm. Fellas, I want to take this before we transition into the draft. And Fred, you were right about sports entertainment. We want to cover that. But I also want to bring up the fact that now that we've gotten this far with this, now that we've seen just how far the police will go, the prosecutors will go, the sheriff's departments will go, it does not feel like we're going forward. Like Tony hit it right on the head when he said, well, you know, now we got to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati's looking really fucked up right now.
Yeah. It's you know, it's almost like the verdict didn't happen.
Right.
I mean, it's been a week, and they're still, you know, we're still getting killed. Men, males.
You got a 13-year-old who died. You got Brown who died. There's two or three others out there floating around. And isn't it interesting that unarmed black people get shot and killed, but mass murderers get taken alive?
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I'm not even gonna play the they took in the Burger King card.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They live. My biggest fear in this is that now the so-called white folks, they're gonna go crazy now. And not so much kill them, but see, they're gonna go after a police person. But it's put this way, it's gonna be sort of like the Asian backlash. Somehow
mm-hmm.
or another, we're gonna get blamed for that.
Oh
yeah,
that's right.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, and just looking, facing the realities that we're dealing with now, you know, white folks been privileged to have the Second Amendment. That way they can have a gun and not be, and white folks, they can have guns around police and not feel threatened. But if
right.
a black man exercises his you know, concealed kit with concealed carry, open carry, whatever, a black man with
mm-hmm.
a gun is a nigga with a gun.
Oh yeah, well it's
right.
it's like what Chris Rock says, you know. I want to make sure I'm phrasing it correctly. You know, the congressman want to lobby against guns, and the everybody else can have a gun, but a black man even talks about a gun, he's going to get shot.
Yep. Serious gun. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
all
exactly
you
right.
Say, all you gotta do is say or spell the word G-U-N.
Because the out for the police officer is this. Oh, we heard he had a gun.
Exactly.
We heard.
And if you think that ain't how it works, Remember what's his name? What's his name? Rice, the little 12-year-old
mm-hmm.
in the park.
Tamir Rice.
What? Any 12-year-old
on the way in the parking lot. Yeah, but guys, isn't it interesting that when the Black Panthers did their little show of force, Ronald Reagan liked to have a fit, and they still bring that up to this day.
Look.
It's because they use the laws of violence.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, they will tell you, you know, the Black Panthers were the Black Klan. How many Black Panthers burned cross on white people's lawns? I'll wait.
Exactly.
No. Tony, that's the wrong question to ask. How many Klansmen do you know that sponsored a breakfast program and an after-school program for kids?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. How many Klans are in jail and trumped up charges?
Back to our previous portion of our conversation, talking about how everybody talked about they took that boy to Burger King. I looked at them guys who took him to Burger King. It was not for him. It was for themselves. They were hungry.
That's right.
Boy, you want something to eat? You're a good boy. Thank you.
They may have shared with him, but the reality is, them fat jokers. And that's what I'm thinking. You know, those guys who picked up the young man from Charleston looked like the two guys who had the young man pinned up against the car down in Shreveport, Louisiana. They would have had to shoot him because they couldn't chase him. They were too fat. I mean, that's
right.
Hey, it ain't funny.
Right.
That is funny.
Yeah. You know, if it's not what's the guy's name? Kennebrew, they used to play for out of Tennessee State, or Booby Clark, who was like 5'11", about 245, 250.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, if you want one of them, you know, who you got? But now, like I said, things are going to get better, but we just got to do what's necessary to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
True. That's true.
Mike, I got to share this with you real quick. In Richmond yesterday, we had five people at the ages of 14, 15, and a three-month-old get shot in front of an apartment building. And the sad part about it was the person just got out the car and started spraying where kids were. Of course, they were black. And somebody, I guess, tried to defend, return fire. Sad thing about it, when the police came there, nobody knew nothing.
Yeah.
Of course.
Now, this three-month-old has a stomach with a bullet hole in it, but yet nobody knows nothing. And that goes back to, again, we understand that Black Lives Matter, but damn it, when you got Negroes doing crazy mess like that, it kind of hurts the cause.
Reggie, see that point. That point of go with the bigger picture on that. See, from the police standpoint, okay, that one bad apple spoils a whole bunch. What it did, I can understand that if that one bad apple was the cop who knelt on the young man's neck, who was convicted. Or if any of these other situations like that, where this, remember, this was the first time that in my lifetime that I know of where police officers in their uniforms said, or unless they were retired, but they said, no, this guy was wrong.
Yeah.
We never heard that. And if you go back and check the original police report,
they went against the reward.
They say that the blue wall don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time you've ever seen a kink in it at all. Why?
Yeah.
Somebody stood up and did and exercised some measure of integrity. Unfortunately, that's just one wave in the ocean.
Now we got to wait for that Miss Taser and see what happened to her. That one, I shot my taser. Oh, I shot him with a gun. I still ain't figured that out.
Listen, that's I'm still pissed about that, Reggie, because that was an execution. They won't say
you know
it when the court stuff comes out. They'll do everything in their word to avoid the phrase. But that's exactly what it was. She took that kid out just like Betty Shelby did. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were a couple more of those before we even get the trial, because it's not even about Black Lives Mattering. We already know in their mind that they don't. It's more like Black Lives Splattering, because they're going to keep getting away with this shit.
Yeah.
Well, one thing to look at there is what is the residual effect? Because remember, this woman was a training officer. If she
that's 25 years.
If she is that incompetent, how pissed po are the officers that she trained?
Hello.
Because in all likelihood, they don't know the difference between a 30-ounce, almost two pound gun, which a Glock that's almost, you know, a Glock weighs over 31, almost 32 ounces, which is 2 pounds, and a taser weighs less than like 10, 12 ounces.
Plus,
remember, their tasers are always some kind of neon color.
Yeah.
Especially when the police carry. They are some neon color. So if she is that incompetent, you know, they got to go back and retrain everybody that she trained.
Just the one for the body cam. The one for the body cam, they would have covered it up.
Well, see that, that's the thing. Whether you're talking Rodney King or Emmett Till or Sean Bell, whatever, these are the ones that we know of.
Thank you.
Think of all the other ones that have gone on before, during, and after that don't know of. You know,
you got to
remember back in the day. When you look at some of those old newspapers from back in the day, those quote-unquote prominent newspapers, whether it be in the South or the North, they never acknowledged even Black people dying.
That's true. T-Mac.
Oh? Yes.
T-Mac. Forget all those. Remember, you know, here's the kind of stuff you got to look at. Remember there was this situation, I think it was in 1963, where Schwerner Goodman and I forget the other guy's name.
Yeah, Schwerner Goodman Cheney.
Cheney. Remember, they were in jail, right?
Yes.
They were released from jail, right?
2 o'clock in the morning.
But then in the middle of the night, they get pulled over by the cops, who turned them over. By one cop let them go, another cop. Pulled them over, and basically bring it through from there. But you know, don't think that those kind of cops have disappeared. And we won't even get into them self-righteous ones who want to tell you that okay, we knew they were going to get away, so we needed, you know, we stepped in, you know, to do our due diligence. So make sure they didn't walk.
Sure. Look, just like our ancestors, just like we are the offspring of our ancestors, their offspring is out there too. And again, that's the prevailing thing. I mean, I try not to look at it too morbidly, but you can't. But see, look. You can't help but think that, especially in these times, and see, because they basically have immunity to a certain. Because see, all Miss Taser did was just basically make it so that it was manslaughter instead of murder, because that's going to be her defense.
Taser.
And see, what the funny thing is. Whenever somebody, I'm no judicial whatever, but How many instances have you ever heard them yell taser, taser, taser? They just shoot the taser. That was her showing her 26 years in the force.
That's exactly right.
That was her.
Tony, that was for the other officer to get out of the way. Now, why he didn't look to see what she was doing is beyond me.
But, well, that's all part of the whole thing. Because I'm sure that they probably, you know, let's put it this way. I'm sure this isn't the only person that she's ever tased. I mean, shot.
You're right. You're right the first time. Tased with a shot.
And see, just as bad as this immunity thing with police officers, you also have this thing where their records are not public. So that even the police departments that are hiring them can't know what dogs they are.
And see, this is the other thing, Mike. This is where you have the parallels of the Catholic Church, where they'll catch a priest, you know, messing with young boys or young girls.
Instead of firing them, they'll just send them to
you look at a lot of these now. Isn't it true that Chauvin had other previous incidents as well?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, 19 of them.
Exactly.
See, that guy had instances right there on that police department.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And see, here's the other thing. And this goes back to what you were talking about in regards to the ancestors of our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
What you see on a lot of these police staff now, whether it be the Mayberry RFDs or the Fergusons or the Leland Counties or the Simi Valleys or what have you, you have these ex-military folks that even the military didn't want to have anything to do with them. So instead of, we can't make you a military person, but we'll make you an officer. And again, they get passed around in the system just like the defrocked priests and rabbis.
That's right.
Because here's the thing. Let's just say Ms. Taser gets acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they'll fire her. Well, she's already quit for Minnesota. And
right.
I don't, you know, more than likely she's probably got her pension and all this other stuff. But she and the other folks she has trained are going to get passed around like M&Ms. Over other police departments around the country. And it never, that's the thing where it never ends. Because the minute literally, the minute you get one off the street, another three or four pop up.
Yeah. And the count has continued since the verdict put Chauvin's ass in the joint. So it's not stopped yet. I don't know when it will stop, and I don't know if anyone in mainstream media will say that this is going on, even though Ray Charles would tell you quicker than they could. Having said that, thank you, Fred, for sharing this part of the show, and I want to leave next as Patrick Farrar is in the mix. Patrick, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hey,
what's up,
Patrick,
man?
Can you hear us?
Yes,
all
indeed.
Right. What's up,
right,
dude?
What's up?
Professor?
How's everybody doing? How's everybody doing?
All good, brother. And Patrick's
good.
Got his birthday is tomorrow, so raise a glass for his ass while he's still sober.
I don't drink so.
God bless all charges.
Not even a little sarsaparilla.
No.
No sarsaparilla? Damn.
I was,
okay.
Well,
as long as you're not dripping,
you got some heavy listening. You got some work. But Michael, before we go, I got to bring this up real quick. I hope Professor that you know it's
Please.
Interesting that my man Odom left Southern University and went to Norfolk.
Yeah,
State.
I was going to ask
what,
that.
What a huge win that is for Norfolk.
Hey, look, he's only making $223,000, and for a college coach,
But you know what? He'll, you know, when he wins the MEAC, trust me, they'll have to pay him at some point, or they will pay him at some point. He'll bring in that.
He got to get by South Carolina State first, so
He's won a bunch of games in the SWAC. I don't think he'll have any problem doing the same thing in the MEAC.
I don't know. Norfolk State got a CIAA budget when it comes to recruiting, so we'll see.
Rich, Guys, before we go further with this, Patrick, hang on a sec.
Mm-hmm. Reggie, hold on a sec, because I want to work Professor back in this, because long before, and he gets Negro Domus points for this, Professor coined the phrase sports entertainment, which is what we see live and in living color in front of us now.
That's what it is.
And
every week.
Really blatantly now with the NFL. And since we are now doing NFL Idol tomorrow, I want to get, if anybody thinks the same thing's going on, like they're signing these contracts, but they're almost like performance contracts to do a movie as opposed to play a sport. I don't know if it's just me, but do y'all feel that way? Because we already know how they try to script it so someone wins and someone loses, but that someone that's losing is usually someone that looks like us. So does this feel less of a sport the more it's turned into NFL Idol, Tony?
Well, considering the new leading man is going to be in Jacksonville, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
I find it very interesting. You know, strategically, they're releasing the schedule in, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this way. Now, I think Jacksonville, other than their, you know, they get their obligatory Thursday night games, they get their obligatory home game in London, and
mm-hmm.
they usually get a big. Let's put it this way. I think let's put an over and under on how many times Jacksonville is going to be on national TV next year. I say 7.
Yeah. And
no,
and the
no,
balling,
three.
Too, is a little smooth thing.
The only reason why I say more is because it's basically the dynamic duo of him and Adam West, otherwise known as Urban Meyer.
I think maybe 3, Tony, because of the fact that the NFL don't like to show losers every week, and they're going.
True.
I will say this: that your point is well taken, Mike, in regards to the notion of things have already been set in place. Lawrence has already signed a major Gatorade deal already.
Is
he signed a major Gatorade deal?
What took so long?
Oh, yeah. Gatorade.
What took
you
so
know,
long?
It's, yeah, well, it took so long. It's already signed. I mean, everything is lined up for him to be there. He's in Florida. Again, that guy, that young man, is going to be the face of that team. The owner told Urban who to pick. You're going to pick him. Of course, he's going to be in the face of the organization, and they've already set in what they want to do. I'm not taking anything away from him at all. The young man's been great, but he's always been positioned as who they want. Now, let's keep this in mind. Again, I want to repeat this. His best year was his freshman year.
Thank you.
And people talk about, you know, evaluating him on him being the best player. I will say this, and I'm back in my homeboy from Ohio State. Justin Fields is just one pass play left, one wrong pass play from beating him twice.
Yeah,
so
and Patrick, don't forget he hadn't thrown my man out the game. Ohio State would have kicked their ass that time.
Yes.
For,
yes.
And got my man for targeting, which I, that was a question of call.
And also they called back a touchdown. That would have ended the game. I don't want to go down that road. What it does stand for is the fact that they've already selected who they want. The folk here in Jersey or in New York area are going crazy because they got Zach Wilson. I'm saying, that's nice. That's who you want. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. That's who you want. Hey, some folks like vanilla ice cream. Some folks like strawberry. That's what you want, the vanilla ice cream.
I know the guys that are sitting quarterbacks from Duke, and where are they now?
even though today was the quintessential of me being having my blood pressure up, going off, especially in 8 different languages after TV, as Dan Lowski said this, that despite Justin Fields' ability, he still has things to work on. He ain't the only one.
Exactly.
Hey, Patrick, what about my man in Pittsburgh getting a 3-year deal and how it was so quiet? I guess Brett Favre and Terry Bradshaw didn't like that, seeing the Negro in charge getting a 3-year deal.
Said it. He's going to get a 3-year, and he deserves it. Actually, he deserves more than that. But we all know that.
He's been fired about 10 times through the media.
Patrick, if we're to go with Tony's metaphor of NFL idol, and we know they'll talk about the ghetto area and single parent and all that, we'll hear that shit at least once. But
they call the ghetto story.
What bothers me even more is that Tony's premise is 1,000% right, because now this has turned into something like right out of Central Casting. You know, I don't know how much bullshit they're going to shovel up our asses when Lawrence gets signed off as the first player selected in the draft.
Mike, I can lend you 3 of my shovels because I've got about 18 of them getting ready for tomorrow night.
I'm telling you. Because this has come down to leading men. And we know when it comes to black actors, we got a couple who have earned the money because of their body of work. But we have rarely had a situation where somebody gave a black actor, quote, big money and said, okay, perform. No.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, we have to earn ours from the ground up and be supporting players before we get the big money.
Now, Mike, does that mean the Jets are going to draft Anthony Hopkins tomorrow?
I bet you can play
defense better than the one they got. Yeah,
I'm willing to bet you.
Mike, I will say this: in Cleveland, they're rocking in Cleveland. That place is jumping.
Oh Lord! Will Baker Mayfield throw the first ball out?
Yeah, Mike. Well, they have the press is there. They'll have at least 50,000 people each night.
What?
Yes, indeed.
So much for COVID-19.
I've already talked to guys. I've talked to 2 reporters this afternoon. Downtown is rocking. Only thing that's going to mess them up, it might rain, but it's still going to rain because one of the things are outside.
They don't give a shit.
Is it true that the NFL Network's pregame show started like 5 minutes ago?
Yes. You're not right.
I wouldn't be surprised if it had.
They'll have 45 guys that they're hooking up to be potentially be filmed being drafted. 45 guys hooked up already.
And not to mention the 13. Not to mention the 13 that are already going to be there.
I think maybe 12 because one guy had COVID today. So he
did COVID. Oh,
okay. Yeah, one guy got
COVID. Is that still a thing?
what I want to see.
Oh God! Here we go.
Last year, when these GMs are in their offices in their homes, how many brothers are going to be in the background that in the office that making a decision? That's what I want.
There you go. That's exactly right.
Exactly.
Hey, Pat, what are they going to do with Baker Mayfield's contract? They're going to spend it or what?
They're going to do nothing. But wait.
Gonna make him earn
it.
They're
gonna wait. They're all gonna wait. He ain't all that yet. Having said all that, there's another call on the line. Gentlemen, hold on a second. 911, what's your emergency? I'm in Cleveland, and we got people out there getting robbed out here. Please call the cops because they're wasting their money. All right, we'll send out a car. Thank you. Eric Sanderwhite's in the mix as well. Eric, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. With the third pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers, after emasculating as best they could Colin Kaepernick, draft Mac Jones, quarterback, University of Alabama.
That's the word. That's the word.
Matthew Jones.
And Eric, they get what they deserve.
It wouldn't surprise me. Another slow white boy. Hey Eric, is it true that the Dodgers and San Diego Padres are fighting again?
only if Dave Roberts went back to the bullpen, you know. I mean,
I'm gonna bring
something up real quick, you know, because the brothers were talking about the draft and Patrick's on the line. He's OSU. So this leak, it's a leak, about the brother Fields managing his epilepsy.
What a joke.
Right? He's epileptic, allegedly, and he's been able to manage it. And, man, that is like a huge, huge jab at a brother because we all know epilepsy can, you know, if that's his real physical situation, that could pop off at any time.
And Eric, your point's well taken. Nobody talked about it before.
Right. I mean, that's strange, man. Now, let me ask you this. Let's look at it, you know, both sides, right? One side is, quote, unquote, cover up. You know, maybe like, we don't want to put it out there. Maybe Georgia knew, maybe trans. I don't know. We do know enough about these physicals and blood tests. You can spot things where you know what someone ate 60 days ago with today's blood tests. That's not a challenge, right? I mean, so the sports physiology and the sports test, right, and the physicals, they go to a whole nother level of degree deeper, correct? The combine, we see the surface level of the combine, and we always joke about, boy, let me see your teeth. But they're checking them teeth in other areas. They're getting them dental records. So my point being, in there, if there was a detection, and it was a detection where it was medicated or how they managed it because it's a real thing, because Fields has not denied it, then it also creates a situation of more usury of putting a guy out there at risk in the COVID-19 environment as well. He's epileptic, right? That you kind of did a dice roll every time you put him under center, which is part of the usury, again, about, you know, big college sports athletics and what can take place. So that's going to cause a potential dip in his draft stock. What are the thoughts about that?
I think one of the great commentators in NFL football today, a guy named Chris Sims, Phil Sims' son, who's a commentator with Pro Football Network, he had Justin Goins.
Are you sarcastic or straight up?
I'm sarcastic, 100%.
Okay, got it. Because I heard homeboy, and I was like, oh, man, let me get this right. All right, cool.
Chris Sims is from Jersey. They had Chris Sims as the they had a poll about 3-4 years ago of the greatest high school players. They had him as the greatest high school quarterback ever. I said, who paid that writer for that nonsense? He went to Texas. They was supposed to lead Texas to a great championship and then wound up being the average quarterback. His daddy got him in the league, got hit twice and with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
right.
and now they got him a job at CBS from CBS to
Patrick, didn't he get in a fight with Desmond Howard because Desmond Howard said his boy wasn't shit?
That's right. He won the fight with Desmond Howard. David said, what do you want to fight about? If it ain't the truth, what you worried about? But he fits your profile, what they want to look, 6'4", white guy, blonde, blue hair. So, but he has Desmond going number 32 in the draft. So again, all these things that you said, Eric, is piling up to the degree that folk are making moves that they want to make moves. And I'm saying this ending a whole thing about Justin, go to the team where they want you and perform. Because we know it's set up. I mean, they already got posters ready to go out for Zach Wilson here, right here in Jersey, because he's going to be the cover boy already. Already. So they're going to get what they want. Like I said, go where you want, go where they want you and perform.
There you go.
And here's what's worse. I'm going to say what's worse than that. I talked to Mike earlier this afternoon. I almost blew up again this afternoon, this morning, against, and Eric, your boy out there in California, Marcellus Wiley.
Oh, God.
Columbia
University. Columbia University's Marcellus Wiley.
Yeah, that's right.
Marcellus
he's from Columbia.
The
land of the Morningside gangsters, Columbia University.
Can
you dig it, really?
He wanted to hear the nerve to go on TV and defend that there was no issue adamant relative to how Justin Fields is being treated. None. I'm going,
that epilepsy relief, man. You know, knowing what I know, you know, Pat, you trick brothers here, you know, you worked in the league. If that leaks on an NBA player, you know, who's considered to be top 10 merch,
that's a fallout, man. That's a drop.
This is the equivalent of Mr. Tunzel's dad releasing the bong video.
The mask on?
The
Kim Gear mask?
To me, it's the same thing.
Same thing about Warren Sapp feeling on
the drug test, which they still say he never passed. But look, I'm no Warren Sapp fan, but still, it's like, what, you know, now put it this way, your boy, you know, my man Lawrence could wake up tomorrow and be pregnant with twins, and they'll still draft him.
And that's still drafting. That's right.
Oh yeah.
Well, what happens is when you start going through that, how can I call it, man? You know, what's the deal in assembly line? When you start getting in the assembly line of the highest levels, you know, of the sports and entertainment matrix, there are so many support mechanisms, and there's just so many things that are attached to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's so many levels of that assembly line. It's hard to disrupt the assembly line when it gets this level unless the player self-destructs or get injured, because the support network is so deep, it's hard as fuck to fail unless you just can't play.
Let me put a historical on this.
Joe Willie Namath in 65.
Yep.
Now, he gets drafted, of course, by the St. Louis Cardinals, and eventually, I know, the Cardinals, what would it be, Bush Beer Joe, I guess, if he had went down there.
The Bushes had him, that's right.
And then, of course, it comes to the Jets. The first thing the Jets did was, now remember, he had those Namath knees that everybody talked about for years.
Mm-hmm.
They go back to his junior year in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you've ever watched either the documentary on America's Team with the Jets or Joe Willie's football life, he had to go to the Jets doctor the next day just to look at his knee. And the guy told him straight up, if you're lucky, you get 5 years.
And they'll max you out. And what the Jets did, they max you out. Because the thing is, back to the NBA, people can relate to, if you draft someone in the lottery, right, and they just can't ball, right? They just, so you send them down to the D League, you bring them back up, they will let that person ride for 3 years because they don't want to say they failed on a lottery pick.
Exactly.
Then when the rookie contract
is
up in 3 years, they max out.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that, I mean, what a lot of us never experience in life, especially those with the skill sets and the talent, they never experience what it's like in the environment where they support you to where you can't fail. They just literally tell you, don't fuck up. We got everything else. Mike Tyson, we all know, you know, I mean, he got this little thing going on right now, you know, with his little hot boxing thing. And, and Mike in his own way has a form of brilliance, but he'll say something that's fascinating. He'll say, you know, if you want to see the funniest shit ever, ask me to fill out a job application. I can't do that for shit. So you're looking at it. So if you were to ask the question, how does someone fuck off 300 milli? Well, when they're a functional illiterate, they are. But he had such a network mask. And listen, nigga, do this. Knock motherfuckers out. You know, we don't care how many broads you do, whatever you do. We got the penicillin for your ass, right? That's how they talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they provide behind the scenes.
Amen.
Stay in training.
That's
right, what the fuck you got to do. Money Mayweather, please don't ask him to read C-Spot Run. We're going to be embarrassed as fuck.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Let's keep it 100. That's what I'm saying. But you know what? What people can do really well, even when they come to this country and can't speak a lick of the English, they can count that U.S. greenback.
Every last one of these motherfuckers can count money
and can't speak for shit.
No doubt.
Right. So if you multiply that to Mayweather, what's the difference with what he's doing, you know, when he's showing all his racks of loot that foreigners do when they come here and can't speak of the fucking English? Nothing different.
That's true.
Illiterate. But guess what? The network behind him, this Harvard-educated bros behind the scenes, these financier supremes, these cats that know how to run, you know what I'm saying, all that pay-per-view to the level of unseen level, how they get motherfuckers to come down and wait. And Floyd is training on steak and shit, protein shakes. These motherfuckers are eating lettuce because they're coming to that catch weight. So Floyd can be there.
That's
right. Trying to get that big contract. That is the ultimate form of pimpology of another box that you'll ever see. So when you see that Ali didn't play catch weight, all these other Sugar Ray Robinson, they don't play catch weight, but Floyd did. And they play the pay-per-view card, and this guy just jacks Luke like nobody's business. And they tell him a couple of things. Listen, you got two things, MF, you need to do. Don't fuck up and stay in shape. And despite that, he did a beatdown and had to go to the joint, right? Because he beat his chick up, and he didn't win. That was their cool-out period because he got too fucking defiant. So they said, yo, man, we got to cool this nigga out. He needs to at least get a month. You know what I'm saying? Because he's too much of a cash cow. Then they pull the motherfucker out, and they say, listen, behind that closed scene, dig this. Don't fuck up and stay in shit. Okay, I got you, boss.
Yep.
And that's what they do. Support network is such. People have no idea the layers that are involved in supporting an asshole, where even an asshole looks like he's fine.
Eric, I'm gonna give you another one. Real quick,
yes,
Mike.
Sir.
Speaking of Mayweather, Mayweather fought Conor McGregor, right?
Exactly. Same shit.
Conor McGregor, right?
That's a great example.
Here's the flip side of that. Everybody said, you know, he fought Conor McGregor. We know what the result was. And Conor McGregor got a paycheck. Conor McGregor is a functional illiterate damn self.
Functional illiterate.
You know what Conor McGregor did this week? I mean, actually last week. If you saw a commercial of Conor McGregor over the last year, you know, advertising, being a pitch man for beers.
Yeah.
I was looking. He just signed a $900 million deal for his own brand of liquor.
That's the network
example of what you just said on the other side.
And you are so right, man, because that's what the point here, which you're dialing in on, and while we can see, you know, you mentioned the Gatorade contract. Oh, it all fits, right? you know, Gatorade, Florida Gators, Meyer at Gator, Gatorade created in the University of Florida campus. He's playing there. It's all there. It's all set up and shit.
Yeah,
and you know it's over my Coca-Cola. It's all there. And so the whole thing being is the network is so thick and the corporatocracy is so thick and the support level, with, even with the refs dialing in. So when Jordan was on his run, there was a number of games we watched where we said, this motherfucker, you can't get 15 feet within him without the whistle.
That's right. Jordan rules. I was there.
You can't get near him.
But you got to also...
That game-winning shot by basketball rule was a carry.
That was a carry.
Aaron Russell.
And the push.
You carried the rock. You already got a hand bigger than big that can hold the rock.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that advantage. And he would take that advantage every time, and there's nothing no one can do about it. You know how what it would be for anyone to leave their house in their profession and know that they can literally stand on the desk, take a leak, and get $50K for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that world is like when you move into that chamber.
That's very true.
Just remember this.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what
world is like.
I've seen it.
Just like Patrick said, Trevor Lawrence is going to probably have a bigger contract for the Gatorade than he's going to have for his pro contract, at least the first year.
Definitely.
And that's not even counting. And that's not even counting the bonus. But we got to remember, this is the same bunch, and D'Orlando Leppard is in the mix. This is the same bunch of Dick Dastardly motherfuckers that killed a career or tried to kill a career in 1985. I don't know if anybody remembers Louis Oliver out of Florida.
They
could cover and tackle. And I was at that draft. And he should have gone in the first five. And all of a sudden, names started coming up. It wasn't quite Brady Quinn, but the whole point was, and this is what bothered me, and I know this motherfucker's getting money. That motherfucker, he kept saying, well, there must be something wrong with Louis Oliver. There must be some word that came down about him. And Kuiper is harping on this constantly. So the draft is going and going and going. Finally, at 25, Louis Oliver gets picked up by the Dolphins. One of the best players ever in Florida Gator history, he makes it, and he decides to take 25 because of what happened to him. But I can't tell you in numbers of Gatorade sales how much money he lost from dropping from five, from that five at the worst, to 25. Now, he played eight seasons, and he made a couple of Pro Bowls, but the point was somebody was hog-tying his cash. And they did that just deliberately.
And Mike, to your point, it's happened to so many players, and that's the divide. Because point of the matter is, I mean, you know, Jordan was talking about when Drexel, you know, peak careers. He was like, yo, the real deal is I ain't that much more talented than Clyde, and Clyde could give some of the side cash I'm getting if Clyde would only play ball. Like, I'm playing ball. Like, yo, I'm going to play the corporatocracy game all day long. I'm going to be their bitch, period. And I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to create my brand that I don't own, right, and create a million of sales that I don't own my own image on my Jumpman. That's still Nike shit. You know what I'm saying? But they'll cut me off a little section of that shit, and I'm not really getting broken off. But because do that, I'm going to get the protection. If I got problems with, say, you know, playing the horses or, you know, betting on, you know, my pool game, they got my back and shit, so I'm making everybody so much fucking money. And it's like a license to do all kinds of wild shit until you can't do it no more. Or if you're a functional literate, then you just go by the wayside and it's like, okay, we got enough out of this. We made enough racks. But at the same token of time, how much can we more pimp it, more brand it, and brand it this way from another level? And that's where you just can't fail in those levels, because if anyone on this phone today got 10%, and not like anyone's requesting that because men are men, they're going to stand on their own dime. But if they got 10% of that support mechanism, your realm and world would look light years completely different, even on an external level. Doesn't mean better. That does not mean better, because we see how people fall off all the time from those pedestals because they're standing on a toilet paper crown, right? It looks really good. Mm-hmm. But what takes place is there's so much of a network. You show up, you get drafted top 10. You show up, whatever sport. You show up to, you know, the press conference the next day at your team site. You're hooked up. Okay, here's your tailor. Mm-hmm. For Brothers Who Are Big. This is your realtor. All right. This is where you go talk to my dealership guy. He's going to get your vehicle.
Yep.
Right? No, this is your nutritionist, unless you got your own. Call my man. Right? All those things are in play.
That's right.
The moment you hit the turf.
Yep.
That's right.
Your wife's driver to where she wants to shop.
That's my point. Jamarcus Russell, that motherfucker would have failed anywhere else. Al did everything. Al carried, all due respect, Jamarcus, a bum for several years. So Jamarcus Russell, functional illiterate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep it 100 in these conversations, right? And so the point being is, he top pick. And then when he got there, Al did everything. Al Davis, who the Allen referred to, every kind of, he had motherfuckers checking his alarm clock or being his human alarm clock to get his ass up for practice.
Yep.
Damn.
Jamarcus was a very unique player.
Talent. We're talking about we're talking about the whole man thing how you get your ass on the field on Sunday, right? But where the fall off is, where things start failing, when the Raiders teammates, man, they got stories. The stories are out there and they're all true.
Yeah.
When they're out there in the thousands. When the Raiders seem like, okay, all right, they seem to feel, okay, cool, we got a dog, man, under center. Bro got arm, he got games, come from LSU. You know, we're going to get him tight. I've got the coaching. We're going to be able to run the rock, all this shit. Then when he shows up to the spot, and they're like,
I'll escape.
This motherfucker's dumber than a doorknob. This is what we're going to ride with?
This thing, though. If they got a what do you call, bodyguard man?
They do. They have all of that. Jamarcus had, you're the number one pick. They had every fallback category you can imagine. And we all know they got to throw you a chick to watch you to get a chick on your case, too. We all know that, right?
That's right.
Let's keep that 1,000. So, he had all that in play. That's what carried him the few years he had. Then it got to a point because of all those other deficiencies. It's going to implode, and they could not keep masking it, and they had to let it implode and take that hit.
They allowed him to fuck up. They allowed him to fuck up.
Now, Mike, I'll give you another example very quickly. Only thing this person performed, everything that Eric said in terms of all the areas and platforms of how to put them together and make them play, a guy named Lawrence Taylor.
Taylor had
for 100.
Another one.
Listen, I've heard some Taylor stuff secondhand.
Yes, Lord.
I know Taylor.
I just started reporting him.
Hey, Patrick, you know the block of NJ. Cats was telling me, like, yo, he was at the Crouch House. I was, get the fuck out of here, LT.
Yes.
That was block talk for those who knew. Like, cool brothers.
Mm-hmm.
In the mix that I knew personally, man, none of these were in the LT tip. Like Howard Davis, right? He was a 76. Remember Howard?
Yeah.
Long Island cat.
Yeah.
Love you,
yeah.
brother.
Yeah.
Died of cancer not too many years ago. That's my man, right? Very holistic, metaphysical brother. We talked about a lot of things, and he had a lot of insider views. And then, just a cat like that, just lacing me on the boxing game. And just, put me on and stuff. And he was, with the Spinks brothers and Sugar Ray, he's the one that got the box of the year for that really tight 76 gold medal team, right?
And
there's cats like that in your network. Mark Breland, right? When Mark was crushing through the Golden Gloves before he went pro.
That's right.
Then he did that joint Lords of Discipline, that movie and shit. That was a real cool role for him. These cats here, man, are my, dudes in from a personal sense, right? And cats know what's up. And then they know, we know, who know, what, right? A person named Nippy, right? You know who Nippy is. That's Whitney Houston, brother Gary Garland, played that DePaul, right? So these are dudes you can show up with it's going to crack you up, Patrick, Orange Park and shit, and balling with Sugar Ray Richardson. And when you chop games, these things become topics.
Lord. I tell you, I'm going to tell you a story about Lawrence real quickly. They had a club that Lawrence Taylor owned right around the from Giant Stadium, right? His club.
Right. Exactly.
The reason that they got his club is a composite of what you're saying. That if they kept Lawrence in the club, they can control him. But the problem was when you start working with
the owners and the corporate wives coming in and trying to get them in, fucking them in your office, it causes problems, particularly with the
brothers. There's going to be some issues and shit.
That's why it went down.
Irvin Johnson. Irvin Johnson was hanging out with Jerry Buss like me and you are kicking it like
fellas
and shit.
Yes, Lord.
The players of the team are like, what the fuck is this shit? And they start
calling
him Buck. Now, other guys were like, oh, Buck, young Buck. Oh, hell no.
No,
they were calling him Buck, like the master's top slave that's breaking into slave business.
Ow.
That's where the Buck came from.
Yes.
And his family called him Buck, but he was satisfied when he got out of L.A., bro.
Yes,
but my
point
being, I mean, Irv's a cool dude. He survived a lot of shit. He got laced. He was young. He got caught up in that shit, and he was wise enough to do some really good things with it. And, you know, looking back, you know, when he found out he could never be a Laker owner, that's going to be for Buss's biological family when he sold his shit.
Yeah, there you go. I want to bring D, Orlando Ledbetter, into the conversation. Okay. D, can you hear me? D, are you there? D's on cruise control. Can you hear me, Darryl? All right. Well, I want to bring this up because as the draft comes in, we know the additions are out. People are assigned their roles. And you have actors who are A guys and you have actors who are B guys. And Atlanta has somebody who they thought was an A guy would turn out to be a D guy in Matt Ryan. He was the most sophisticated version of Carson Wentz, and that the boy wasn't shit. But having said that, you got a split history of the Falcons with Michael Vick. And
son,
a split
you just
history.
Don't want to say it. Roll off your tongue, do you, son? You haven't followed through with it, son.
And a split history of Ryan as the quarterback. Now, if I had to weigh one as opposed to the other, I would go with Mike, of course, in spite of all of that shit. But it's interesting what Atlanta was willing to tolerate. Now, they had a world-class receiver in Julio Jones.
Yeah.
And Jones is acknowledged as a great player. But nobody's going to say that Ryan was a great quarterback. And this speaks to the same kind of mediocrity that Los Angeles now has with Matthew Stafford, who still ain't shit. But now we got these guys who are made out to be.
I'm proud of you, son. You rolled off the tongue. I'm proud of you. Rolled off the tongue. Good job. You're getting better.
But we know that they're not. They're B actors. And how long will the NFL accept the premise that they can buy this and sell it, as Fred likes to say, as sports entertainment?
Because the white guy can always be the hero.
It's just supporting the network, man.
That's true.
I mean, basically, Matthew Stafford is Judge Reinhold. For lack of a better word.
Oh, my God.
I think that's too highbrow, man. I think that's a chicken.
and Mike, your point's well taken. Because
okay,
shows
maybe
Matt Ryan,
maybe he's Jude Law.
You know what they did
maybe
yesterday, Matt? Do you know what they announced yesterday?
What's that?
They're looking to see if anybody wants Julio Jones because he got told
Whoa.
Yes.
Holy shit.
We'll see how
good
Ryan is without Julio Jones.
Philadelphia Eagles online, too.
No. Baltimore. The Baltimore Ravens will beat you to it.
That's why I suspect at least three trades within the first 15 picks. Somebody's going to pick that one up.
So it's going to be hot, huh?
San Francisco 49ers.
Now the Niners, the Jets, and a whole bunch of teams, remember, they've got all these picks, and you know what they're going to do with them picks. Yeah, we know what they're going to do with them picks. We know exactly what they're going to do with them picks.
And, Tony, you know something about the Jets? Because I covered the Jets, too. I was doing some work on them. From 2011 to 2018, all the first-round draft picks are gone.
That's beyond a failure of scouting. I mean, that is beyond failure. How do these fuckers get the job? I mean,
like I said, they have all these extra picks, I even bought an extra pack of I Can't Believe It's Not Butter because they're gonna burn this thing so terribly. This is going to, I mean.
They better hire Jimmy Johnson to run their draft and hope he pulls off that Dallas Cowboy Herschel trade type drafting.
And even that, they'll find, look, the Jets are a fuck up waiting to happen. It always has, always will.
That's why I'm glad just
didn't
go there. But
yeah.
You know what's interesting about that Matt Ryan point is the fact that if you poll the state of Georgia, not Atlanta, because we know, you know, the chocolateness of Atlanta, but if you poll the state of Georgia, you ask the greatest Falcon of all times, Matt Ryan, landslide. Because those other
I believe that.
Landslide. And see, that's where, again, you know, when you make that decision in terms of your box office and who you're going to run your money game behind, you're going to run behind the guy that's going to get that from you. And then we're going to do all the support we can. We'll get him Julio. We got to run some offensive sets. Hey, man, we got to find a way to get this guy at least statistics where the fantasy football players can be happy about, which is what he does. He can stack stuff. Matt Ryan can stack stuff.
And this has been a long going tradition for the Atlanta Falcons. Remember, in their formative years, they tried to force Harmon wages down everybody's throat.
Yes.
Oh God, yes.
Steve Barkowski.
They gave him Horning's number.
Oh God, yes. Steve Barkowski. God, who else?
Bob Berry. I'm going back. You know, Bob Berry.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, and also I almost forgot. General Bob Lee.
Ball blip.
Oh, God,
that's the worst one. God, Jesus. How you make the league?
Chris Chandler. Christian Chandelier, as he is. Remember?
Yes.
first one he was, you know,
the glass quarterback.
Put it this way. The first year he was in Atlanta, this is when I was still doing picks for BASN. And I would always have the weekly, what quarter will Chris Chandler get knocked out of this week poll.
No shit. That's right.
Well, you know, you should have rolled the dice with him and Eric Hipple, because that could have been a situation where.
Oh, God. Yeah. The living legend, Eric Hipple.
But you know what, though? But see, the thing is, though, these guys know that, you know, they say, hey, man, get in the best shape you can. We're going to do what we can. You're going to run it. You're going to get numbers. We know your best routes. They study that shit. Okay, what routes does Matt Ryan not throw interceptions on? Okay, this 90% of his routes, these shits work. Which routes does he run where he pretty much has a 70% plus accuracy? We run those routes. Which routes does he run where we throw picks? Cancel those routes. Never run those plays again. It's hard as fuck.
Exactly.
And then to your point of what you played on that table, who gives a fuck if we win and lose? If he can do that stuff and make it exciting.
Remember,
and he is
standing up. They made him an MVP, guys. Remember, they made him an MVP.
It sure did. And the boy wasn't
Stack stuffing, man. Stack. I mean, Chris Webber, right, you know, was a really good NBA player. But Weber gets the stat stuff like nobody's business. He double-double assists in that Kings offense. And, you know, they win some games, but where he's not in the Hall of Fame is not for lack of ability. It's like statistically some guys can get stat stuff. There's a science to that, too. And when you look at it, real quickly to that point, let's just kind of segue to stat stuffing. All right, so recently, right, Steph Curry passed Wilt Chamberlain as the all-time leading scorer for the Warriors. Isn't that some incredible shit? When Wilt ain't played for them, what, the late 60s? And it literally took someone who's the most, you know, who's the most lethal deep shooter in professional basketball history that has beyond the green light, a blue light to shoot that shot to pass them.
Yeah.
Wilt never made one three-pointer in his career because they didn't even have the motherfucker. And even less three-point plays. And it took this motherfucker 40 years. And now I'm hearing people say, oh, he's going to surpass Wilt in impact. Motherfucker, are you crazy? He held his record for damn near a half century.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Stat stuffing again. Stat stuffing. You have a statistic now in basketball that didn't exist called the three-point line, and they create their own percentage for it. So I take 10 shots, right?
Live.
10 shots cumulatively. Five of those were three-pointers. Five were inside the line. Guess what? I did not shoot 10 shots. I shot five threes for its own separate percentage, and anything inside the arc has a new percentage. That's where you can see the manipulation of corporatocracy creating a byline that didn't always exist. And yet you had a player who never made a three-pointer, hold a record for 50 years, and that's the same equivalent to the person who's made more threes than anybody.
Remember when they tried to push the narrative that Kobe's 81 was bigger than Wilt's 100?
Kobe had what, nine threes that night, right? Eight or nine threes, 11 maybe?
Yeah.
Kobe had at least eight or more. I don't know the numbers. I know it's easy to get to. But he had at least eight or more threes. Wilt never made a three.
Exactly.
And he shot 28 of 32 from the line that night. He had never been a good foul shooter. He shot 28 of the 32 from the line that night. He scored 100.
I mean, think about the ludicrousness of that, right? I mean, now, do we all not have brains anymore? This was, if the ABA did not create the three-point shot, it doesn't exist. NBA wasn't even using it. That's an ABA thing, the one that they call
it.
They stole from, right? Yeah.
That's right.
And it was a lot deeper. So you got a guy, and no knock on Steph, one of my favorites to watch, because shooting is a skill. You can't deny that. It's a pure effing skill that he has mastered and continues to prove upon. But yet, it's still such a player at that level of three-point volume to pass a player in the same franchise that hasn't played. He ended his career as a Laker, shot 72% in his last year in the pros, Wilt, his 13th year, played all 82 MFing games, led the NBA, shot 72% in his final year. How do you make a comparison with somebody's talking head assholes that statistical anomaly, which is a new creation,
Eric,
is even comparative.
Eric, what you said right there is the essence of the evil of ESPN.
Really?
Because they made themselves the story. And other sidebars like that, they were considered father. Oh, well, wait until I say my catchphrase and then everything is cool. Fuck that. That's what really fucked this up.
That's not the narrative.
Mike, I'm going to extend that to something that an interview that I heard recently from the former Net frat brother too, Kerry Kittles.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry Kittles was talking about how injuries, how players are not being able to play 82 games from the way the game is played now with the in terms of how they spread the court and the way guys play in terms of as opposed to when they were playing half court, low post, you could rest and recoup. But because guys are playing the game with the kind of whip that they play and everybody's making those cuts and pick and pops, it's affecting guys in the way in terms of how they are playing the game. I didn't think about it in that manner, but I can't explain it as detailed as you can.
But it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Face. I mean, you can look at it and break it down in terms of that bandwidth because Curry and Klay Thompson has totally recalibrated the gameplay. Everyone's, launching from distance at every level and shit. And the coach is coach to that. But when you think of skill again, and you think that a person who never shot one MF and three-pointer 40, 50 years later had his record broken, and it took a volume three-point sniper with the greatest shooting touch to pass him with this kind of like carnival basketball-type three-point thing that's now part of the game. Okay, I accept that. I'm not Denny Crum and shit, hating on the three-point shot, shit, losing games. I mean, you use it for your benefit. However, to compare that to Chamberlain and not taking a deeper dive, which is not even that deep, and looking at how he did not end his career with the Warriors. He ended his career with the Lakers, right? Yep. And then when he went to Philly, they won the championship in 67, right? It's the 76ers. So I think from the 76ers on, he hadn't played for that franchise literally since the mid 60s or late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2021, someone finally surpassed him, but it took someone like Curry again with range and arc and that those 3-point extra points, that volume shooting, the pass. If that doesn't speak to Chamberlain's impact from that standpoint, that to me is one of the greatest compliments a player could have in terms of his impact. For the person who had to catch you, it had to be a whole new game, a whole new rule book, and a whole new vibe. And Eric,
the thing that people refuse to talk about in regards to Wilt, say what you want about Mike, say what you want about Russell, say what you want about all the all-time greats. The impact of Wilt Chamberlain is still felt today.
68 records, man, right now. I'm not even talking about records.
I'm talking about the game itself. The paint is because of Wilt Chamberlain. The three-second rule is because of Wilt
Goaltending, widening the lane. And you know what's interesting about Wilt? Had he had the velocity of O'Neal, just say, fuck you, I'm elbowing you all in your grill. I'm going to punk you with Tombo. If you stay in my grill, I'm going to keep banging you in your grill, dunking on you. I don't give a damn about your person. Like Shaq played, if you look, Wilt is shooting fadeaway bankers. Back off the glass.
I got to shout Chamberlain out
in terms of that because that record came up. And I was hearing this, Steph Curry just passed Wilt. Then they were interviewing Steph. He goes, yeah, this is great. And I was like, man, where's the props for your elders, man?
I'm going to tell you something else. Because I always talk about, I respect the guys game today because it is what it is. But let's be real. If Steph was scoring in any generation, but Steph would be scoring them shots if they played defense like they used to.
No.
Patrick, let the two gunslingers from Chicago, Norman Van Leer and Jerry Sloan, get a hold of his ass.
Don't forget about Wise, though. Ballhead Wise.
Put it this way. Cars for Damn Kids? Shit.
A dude like Pippen, right? A dude like Scotty, 6'8" with lateral quips, great defender. We know what he did to Mark Jackson. Mark, my boy, I'm sorry, man. We go back. I'm sorry, man. But damn, Scotty was locking you down under 12 chambers of a fucking castle when they put him on you. You know, series. I mean, you put Scotty with his left footwork, height, ability, the way to close out a jump shot. I don't know if Steph's getting off shots, but guys, MJ, too, they could lock down. There were pit bulls on the front
guys,
end of that
you
defense.
You got to give credit to Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers has taken four teams to the playoffs, and now he's taking seven assists. So shout out to Doc Rivers.
But, you know, again, man, I mean, props to Steph. You know, congratulations. Good brother, good dude, man. I love his game. You know, I mean, you can't take nothing away from his incredible skill shooting set. However, when I watched the narrative on a major sports network, and they were pumping it up like Wilt was a chump. I said, oh, I got to get with Mike, man.
No,
you got to chop that up for a minute and put it on the lane because that
is
not comparable.
And see, that's the beauty of what we're able to do because, see, look, we already know that the dweebs in Bristol are not going because, see, their whole thing is to, if it didn't happen before 79,
Then they had the nerve to try to steal from our ass, from the time Russell Wilson came on a football field. We've called him the field general. He was the original field general, the modern day field general. So he plays, he balls out, he wins the Super Bowl, and fucking Trent Dilfer and his non-playing mediocre ass has the nerve to come out after the Super Bowl and talk about how Russell Wilson is the field general. You fucking copying
Man, it don't start with these buffoons. And, you know, and the thing is, I mean, keep biting, keep jocking, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, no one here gives a fuck about that, you know.
But the thing is, every time you, you know, how can I say it? You know, there's a term that's going to come to me later. It's escaping me right now. Swagger Jack. That's the word the young people use. Every time you Swagger Jack intel from here, claim it as your own so you can get a contract increase and directly quote people here and not give one MF and thank you out. F you, your mama, your friends, and anyone who looks like you, and F your culinary set and the store you bought.
Hell yeah.
From. I tell you, the bounty of that is this. I must say, I give Greenberg a lot of credit for when people are talking about the show. He got brothers on there that will speak on. Ryan Clark will speak on it.
Ryan gets dapped up. You know, I mean, he's got a little bit. You know, he's got some heart,
Ooh.
Some courage.
He'll say,
you know, sharp, you know, stern, you know, shining. You know, he stands up for his a little bit.
Yep.
But do me a favor, brother. You got to stop doing this, shining man. Work on this shit. Skip. Work on that.
I just wish.
I know one thing. He worked on your boy last week, Brett Favre. He told Brett Favre a new one last week. He told him a new one.
Shining card. I mean, I like Shining. He keeps it real, but he doesn't have to say skip 30 times in one sentence. That's what I got to hit the channel change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm out. Yo, Shining, work on that, bro.
Yeah, really.
I just want, if they're going to do shtick, if they're going to do shtick, at least pass for the shit they stole.
Thank you.
Because our stuff ain't shtick. And keeping that shit 100, when the Liars Club convenes tomorrow evening, you know, all they're going to really talk about is basically the next four or five, or the first four or five guys. It'll probably deteriorate then, or it'll start to become trade situations that'll pop up. But that first four or five picks are going to be boring as shit because we know what they want to do. The atmosphere, what they want to convey when this player gets taken, the fact that this kid is going to get $46 million in a damn data contract tells you everything you need to know about this business. You got to
I'll add this to it for tomorrow night. I'm not predicting who or where, but there's something that you should watch out for. Watch out for the NFLC East, Eagles, Giants, and Cowboys. Boy Jerry Jones, I think he's going to do something stupid tomorrow.
He's going to do something stupid.
I
can feel a severe case of dumb fuckery may be in effect when Jerry Jones offers half a dozen first-round picks his son and his soul to get Trevor Lawrence.
Mike, thank you. Thank you. Now I have to make another West Coast call to Webster's after that dumb fuckery.
The dumb effery, man, that's on the level. I guess Jerry Jones, if he's got two picks in the first round, is going to draft wide receivers. Don't be surprised because I don't know who, but I'm from what I'm looking and what I heard from legitimate people this week, don't be surprised. Jerry Jones did something because he hadn't won a Super Bowl in 25 years. He's almost 79.
That's right.
He got to do something. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. Jerry's ready to sell his soul because he doesn't want Dak Prescott. Now, let's be real. He does not want Dak Prescott as his quarterback. This is that trading place of situation.
I agree.
Do you think I want a nigger running our company? No, Mortimer. Neither would I. That's the truth. He doesn't
but he ain't
want
got no choice.
Dak Prescott to represent America's team? Hell no. It ain't got nothing to do with drugs. It ain't got nothing to do with white women. It ain't got nothing to do with pork chops and applesauce. No. It's got nothing to do with it. He's the de facto CEO, and they just don't like the color of his skin.
Mm-hmm. But remember what he saw? He saw them losses last year. At the end of that season, he said, "I got to get him back on the field." That's what he's doing. All right. So the brothers who are up on the players in the draft, I haven't been paying much attention to. You know, I know the name cat dudes that play with the major universities, but this kid from Florida is supposed to be all that in the bag of chips. His wide receiver.
yes. Right, coming out. Yeah. Who's the cat that's going to play three games? Is it that Alabama Heisman Trophy winner? You know what? I mean, who is a balling-ass MF, balling-ass player that if a team drafts him in that, you know, in the first round, who's a can't miss? I mean, I'm not hearing too many can't misses.
I personally think it's Fields. I think if a team drafts Fields and they basically say you are our centerpiece, I think they'll be in the playoffs, if not this year, at the very least by next year.
If Dallas drafts Fields, he will be Pettis Norman reincarnated. He's big. He's strong. He's got big hands. He can catch. I thought about him, but the one I like on defense is Sertan's kid, Patrick Sertan II.
Oh, yeah.
He's already been
Alabama.
Through. He's already been through the whole situation. His father, he knows the deal. So he's going to come in polished, and he's going to come in prepared.
And Mike, Joe Horn's son from South Carolina, watch him also.
Yeah. They know.
Yes.
Unfortunately, they only have one player from HBCUs that they're really pushing, the kid from Grambling, Daniel Moore, a big tackle.
Yeah.
So is Najee Davenport first back taken? He should be.
All right.
And I don't know who is not talking about the boy NTN from Clemson. That boy is a true.
I like him too. I really. But see,
that boy. Back
in the day when the running back used to be, when they used to have running backs in this league and they respected him, he would have been a top. I still think he should be a top five, but unfortunately, nobody drafts running backs in the first round anymore. And the thing about him is he can catch the ball off the backfield, he can block, and all.
And Tony, here's the bad thing for Giants fans. I don't know if they're going to pick up Barkley's contract this year.
Who's the top
D lineman out there? Ooh, anyone know? That's a toss up.
Didn't Ohio State have
some really down defensive linemen?
The kid from Miami. The 6'7" tight end.
That kid is.
I remember him. Yeah.
But no matter who's
excelling at a so-called skill position, one thing has always been constant. If there's any lineman, anybody in the pit on offense or defense, they will go. It doesn't matter if nobody knows jack shit about them as far as lay fans are concerned. If there's any bona fide beef in the pit, it's going to get picked in the first round and the second round. That's it.
Didn't the Chiefs pick up an offensive tackle recently?
Yeah, the kid
picked up. Baby
Zeus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Zeus.
That's right.
I can admire him because he said, look, I'm worth more than what it is. You're going to pay me or I'm out. They didn't pay him because next year, it's his last year. And KC had no choice but to do that because
Mahomes got some, and then does this cat got
some dog in him, man? Because he, can he hold
that's
on?
That's right.
His dad was a legendary lineman.
Orlando?
The problem is, they're going to move him to the left side. They got to get somebody for the right side. They'll get somebody right side of the draft. So.
And guys, you know what the common thread is of all of the players that we mentioned here, sons of former players. So like you said,
sons of former players.
They're gonna come in. They're already gonna be. In a sense, they'll all be Kobe Bryant. They know what to expect.
Yeah,
and they'll be already way beyond their years, and
they got the cheat sheet answers.
Well, please wait.
Yeah,
barring injuries or baby mamas, they'll be around the league at least 10 years.
So the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, right? What the F do they need? Do they need a secondary, more linemen, linebackers? I mean, if the Chiefs are on the board
and they got a lot of talent. What position they got to go with?
Harold, what did you say when you started the conversation? You want to protect your prime piece.
Okay.
There you
keep
go.
Your prime piece.
I mean, I
want to
look for these things, man, because the brothers in here got intel.
I'm
you know
telling
what I mean?
You.
Just, all right. I'm not, that would be my fault, the way Mahomes was damn near lost his career in that fucking Super Bowl.
That's why
yeah.
That's why they're going to stock up online to protect that boy.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Right.
Remember,
right. Remember they gave away. They gave him. We got a giveaway. He got a queen's and king's ransom from them. So they got it.
Yes.
They got it.
That's right.
You know. This isn't Todd Blackledge we're talking about here.
No hell to no.
They have
Mike
to
Livingston.
Buy so much high class.
Hey, the return of Mike Livingston.
Oh my God.
Bill Kenny.
Yep. They have to provide so much high-class beef to protect Patrick Mahomes that Lyman will get arrested if he's tackled in the backfield. That's how important he is now.
I'm with you on that. Because that is the whole Brady motif, right? Get Lyman.
You ain't
yeah.
wrong, Mike.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
You ain't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, you don't need 87 extra picks to do that shit either.
Thank you.
No,
you.
But right. You do need to be fortunate. You need to be fortunate enough to win at least one Super Bowl because after you've done that and you've made that adjustment, you're
it's
lost
tough.
Forever. Remember,
right.
Miami made one Super Bowl appearance in Marino's era, and what did they do every draft since? First thing they always did, protect Marino. They got a lineman. They got a guard. They got whoever they needed to get. But they always made sure that Marino's ass was the cleanest jersey on the field
yep.
when the game was over, whether they won or not. That's
thank
the
you.
Kind of mentality they're going to need.
You're right. Sure.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Right.
The only game I saw,
especially now,
was in Cleveland where he busted his Achilles heel when somebody him. That's the yep. last time I was seeing him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, plus the fact it was on that blue green grass in Cleveland.
Well, that's another story.
Yeah, really.
I'd be letting secrets out if I tell you that. I can't say that. Patrick Wojnarowski.
Put it this way. They all think Jimmy Hoffa is in the end zone at MetLife Stadium. Let's put it this
they ain't
way.
Lying.
I think he's got some body parts in that river that burned over a few years as well. But I can't.
Where the hell is Al Toon when you need him?
Exactly.
That's right.
Derek Jackson.
Every time a Jets player fell on the turf by accident or on purpose, the first thing in my mind was tackled by Hoffa. Because that's how much he caught at that stadium. But on a serious tip, Patrick.
Damn, you went way back in the machine. Way, way back.
Cleveland has the draft now, and it's like they're making money. I mean, this is the kind of ancillary income that the NFL used to depend on back in the day before that first big TV contract. So
you're right,
Mike,
because Baker Mayfield got national advertisements with a brown uniform on going to the Brown Stadium.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Guys, Mike, money's not an issue with this.
Mm-hmm.
They because of the new contract and all the – also, what you know, the biggest thing, make a long story short, the NFL lost about 8% in terms of capacity, what they put in the books. But they made close to 36% money on various elements of platforms of media and that last year that compensate for that they don't put out in front of people that accounts for them. They made money last year. I mean, because here's another reason why. Let me give a perfect example why. We talked about last week what the betting entities are doing and buying properties in this team has cemented that they're going to make money this year.
Yes.
Eight close, end of story.
Yes.
By the way,
the astronomical TV contract that they received, nobody needs to show up for 10 years for them to make fucking money.
Wait, I'll give you a perfect example. Yesterday, a deal was signed. Now, we all know, talking about ESPN, we all know a guy named Dan Lobaton, right? He left ESPN because Dan's his own man, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan Lobaton has a new show on Fox by John Skipper, the old CEO of ESPN. Yesterday, he has a new radio show coming out. I give Dan Lobaton at least put some brother on the show.
It's the dude from Miami.
Yeah. He signed a deal with FanDuel for $50 million. What TV show signed a deal for $50 million?
$50 million.
Guys, if he's doing that, that's attached to what they think they're gonna be able to get in terms of pulling from viewership and betting from NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And oh, by the way, they added now you can add Hulu to the mix as well.
You gotta use the streaming services
because right now, to your point real quickly, to build on your point, because it's excellent, is that Major League Baseball is racking up on streaming services. That's what the thing
that's
that people sleep on MLB.
MLB is
a streaming service cash cow.
Absolutely.
And also, very quietly, it was either yesterday or today.
NHL, correct.
Did they hook up with TNT?
But see, that's not the caveat. They're going to put games on Bleacher Report.
Because they're linked up with Bleacher Report.
Holy shit!
There you go.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Wow.
They're linked up with. You got to integrate the web, man. There's just no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can't ignore it.
On these devices, you got to integrate the devices, man, for the automation because they're hands free and people are on them all day long. Man, shit. I was watching NCAA tournament games because I had some loot I had to collect, man, on my whole fucking phone while waiting at a red light.
Let's be honest here.
The internet sticks out like Dolly Parton at a funeral. So they cannot be ignored.
And I'll add this to it. One of the reasons why they're going to put people in the stands this year, COVID or not, is because of the company's name. That's attached to the NFL, in which in-game betting is going to blow up. More than ever.
You're right, Patrick. You're right. Keep it going, brother. I'm sorry.
No. I forgot the name of the company. I had a note on it, but I forgot what it was. But in-game betting, while you're at the stadium, on your phone, okay, the Browns are driving down against Pittsburgh with 4th-and-1 inches.
Correct. Like red zone, like NFL red zone.
Hit that bad boy. Boom, put it in.
That fucking NFL red zone is addictive as fucking,
yes, Lord.
Those who are hooking on the crack pipe. That shit is flying. Because that's the only one that really fucking matters for shit.
And see, you got to remember, there's an alternate channel where it's just about the fantasy. Now, remember.
The red zone is hot as shit. I mean, the NFL got that down because anytime you get inside that 20, that's your game.
Exactly. It's like when Chris Rock said a few years ago about Popeyes. That's got crack in it. That's why people love it.
That's right.
Hey, man, listen. If you're playing the spread, red zone is like, let's get the red zone. Yo, where they at?
Mike, could you imagine if they did the movie, if they did James Caan's The Gambler set to this time of the year?
Please.
They would
be committing suicide. They'd be jumping off bridges. Because think about now that these prop bets are in play. Think about what happens when somebody is sacked on a 4th-and-goal. Do you know how much money will turn over on that alone? You got a lot of people watching football
all
on Sunday, and the Giants get stopped on 4th-and-goal. All you got to do is add it all up.
Bet both sides of the numbers. Like when I work on Wall Street, you bet on both sides. Who's going to win?
That's right.
That's the ultimate long shot.
Pork bellies be damned. Let me see what they're gonna do in the fourth quarter.
That is pork bellies. That's right. Those are bellies of a lot of big ass brothers grunting in that pit. If you don't get that ball across the goal line, you don't get the G.I. Joe with the kung fu grip for Christmas. That's real talk.
Guys like Jimmy the Finger and his wife Lady Fingers, they're gonna be right.
and Mike, a guy I went to school with for years, who owns he owns a store in Jersey City, and his father was a prime guy in the Sons of Italy in this area, but he owns a store, he's a noted gambler. And he knows I'm a Dodger fan. Now he operates this on 7 days a week. So I go there in the morning and get my papers. And the first thing he told me, the Dodgers won by two, I lost by five.
Every morning.
And all the teams lagging in this, and this is just keeping it 100, the one who is just can't seem to get reroute is the NBA. Because MLB,
that's right.
NHL. NFL, they're rolling. NBA, if LeBron ain't playing, everything's in the gutter. They're still struggling.
He's also catching hell from conservative podcasters and whatnot, saying shit, outkick bullshit. They're throwing all of this into the mix. But we cannot forget that the genesis of all of this began when they gave him that money, that first contract, because they thought this nigga's going to fold. There's no way he holds up to it. So let's pimp his ass out. And he fooled them all.
Yes, that's why I confidently
move that LeBron James is the cash cow.
Yes.
Good time. I mean, much respect for LeBron, you know, because like I said, you know, there is a calibration for intelligence and conscientiousness and walking it like you're talking. But at the same token of time, the NBA, they got, hey, there's no LeBrons on the horizon. They're going to have to find a new fix.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Somebody made money last week. I'm trying to get all the information on the Bitcoin, but Kevin Durant made over $100 million last year on Bitcoin investments.
When Kevin was with KD, however you want to call it, was with the Warriors. I mean, he was like basically within the shadows of the tech world, right? And all the ballers of the tech world, right there.
Wow.
And so he started connecting with venture capitalists as a Warrior.
Good point.
Because
there
the one thing, no, see, yep. this is Factology 101. And so the thing is, he started hooking up because of the Warrior games, that's nothing but a bastion on that lower bowl of tech heads. And they're jacking crazy loot, be it Oracle, be it Google, be it Adobe. Yep. Be it Cisco, be it eBay, right? All that money is gobbling up on those Warrior floors. Now, they got the tech thing. Like, that's the other advantage the Warriors had because they had analytics coming from, you know, the Silicon Valley. No NBA team could compete with, too. Right?
You
they
know,
had
and
shit. And they were being drafted up. That was off-grid. All right? So moving with Durant. He started because Durant, and this would happen. This would happen to my, you know, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, and other athletes. These players have something that venture capitalists can't compete with. They got crazy wealth. They're getting 25, 30, 40 mil a year, not worrying about will they sell enough advertising to make that fucking money. No, they got it. So it makes sense to venture with these jobs. KD, you know, he ain't got no experience in that, right? He went to the University of Texas out 1 year to play ball, but it doesn't mean he don't have intelligence. He got linked up with the right, what I would say, back to that support network again, he got linked up with the blue chip crowd of that Silicon Valley.
So when he goes
crypto, he's almost moving at the level of Elon Musk. All right. Now, the average mofo out there, we got to say that,
don't lose your money on crypto. You don't have Kevin Durant.
There you go.
Connections.
There you go.
And
quickly about the Warriors, when people talk about what the Warriors did, they brought that bad boy for $450 million. It's about worth $6 billion now. Anytime you pay for your old stadium, and the only thing you have to do is have the government just make the roads around the place, we pay for it ourselves.
They moved it to Frisco. I mean, they put it on the wharf. They put it in Frisco. They got it. They loved Oakland. I loved Oakland Coliseum, for the record. See, I won a NorCal championship there.
I understand.
So Oakland Coliseum,
I've been there once
personally, but I enjoyed the sound effects of the game, one of the best venues in the NBA for years, and at the time before they blew up some of the best ticket prices, right? However, you know, there when the Warriors took off and all of a sudden that, you know, Silicon Valley wealth starts rolling in, they're going to link with the players. And Durant, they can look at that contract, and these motherfuckers about making loot. They not kind of fuck with nobody who don't have that paper. So they link up with him, and they know he can fund some of their projects with a huge trade-off in turn. And they only think in billions. They do not think in thousand-air philosophy at all. That's lunch money.
To Eric, you hit it on the head. You're talking about venture capital? You know,
correct.
A syndicate back in the old days, guys would try to put money together to hit the superfecta or the pick six and stuff. This
correct.
Is so
oh,
much
no.
easier
oh, no, no,
and
no.
costs a lot less money in terms of actual money you're gambling on. We have gambling, now that the box has been open, Pandora, her mama, everybody else is out of that shit. She can't find shit. But everybody else is finding action. And that's the key to all of this. People would not
you ain't never lie. So if you
the
go
NFL
there as BASN, right? Say
anybody
go to Associated Radio. We got 20 minutes in front of venture capitalists to say, you need to break me off $20 million to fund my fucking project so I can blow this shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to show the coordinates of the thing. Durant's motive, and a lot of the other athletes, Andre Iguodala, too, and there was others, their modus operandi was they already got loot and got that broadband with, and now they're making these wise investments by linking with those tech heads, literally by virtue of location of where they play their game. So when you hear Durant making that kind of money, he's damn near insider trading with his connections.
Think about this,
right,
guys.
About that.
Here's the final bow. Kevin Durant has something that Chadwick Boseman doesn't have, an Academy Award.
No shit.
So does Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
Got one last week on Sunday.
And that's the other thing about L.A., right, because and that's what LeBron did with closing out his career with L.A. There's more millionaires in SoCal than anywhere geographically, you know, by square miles, right? So you go there and you link with that whole fucking empire of access and brilliant minds to run that shit, and they can put you on. But why LeBron can do Space Jam, why LeBron can do these HBO shows, why LeBron can do a lot of that stuff is LeBron got loot. And
that's right.
They need him more than he needs them. So he can make those decisions, Eric, because he has the numbers.
And they can't
It took them a decade for them to admit that they needed him. You know, they didn't think he was going to produce like he did. But after
ratings are in the gutter if he doesn't play.
That's right.
NBA ratings go down when LeBron doesn't play, like, astronomically.
Ask the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers how much his team was worth after LeBron left.
Oh,
he knows
no worries about that because homeboy got Quicken Loans.
Quicken Loans.
LeBron literally finances Quicken and Rocket Loan Project.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he did. I'm promising you guys he's coming back. And it's sealed with a kiss. Well, one thing is for
totally
sure, gentlemen, as we're running out of time.
Gilbert didn't give a fuck. He needed some venture capital for Quicken Loans. LeBron, give me 4 years, please.
Yeah, that's right. But as we go into tomorrow with the draft coming up, NFL stands for no funds lost. They're going to be making big fucking paper on this shit.
Show my head, bro.
So having said that, it's time for final thoughts. As the clock is against us, I want to thank the chefs for always putting some good shit in. Special thanks to the professor for laying down some real intel on what mindset is going on there in North Kakalaki. Professor, open it up quick. Give us something for the pot.
Well, I just hope that
the
guys...
Right there, brother. Hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah, I just hope the guys who are on the list from HBCUs actually get drafted tomorrow versus waiting to sign on Sunday. Continue to follow us on blackheritagereview.com. You can buy books and other materials.
That's www.blackheritagereview.com. Buy books, T-shirts, bric-a-brac, and all the other good stuff. Reggie, give us something for the pot. Reggie, are you there?
He's making a grilled cheese right. And tomato soup.
Hello, Reg.
There you go.
Hey, Reggie, stop grilling that cheese sandwich.
That's the goat. That's a cheese sandwich. Patrick, give us something for the pot.
Lastly, it's a big night for everybody, but I hope those young men, and unfortunately not going to do it, keep the draft party limited. Because as of tomorrow night, when everybody's around, it's not when they announce it. It's when the party's over. And their cousin and their buddy's talking about, I'm going to holler back at you. And mama, baby mama, all going to be there at the same time with their hands out.
Get that right.
Every guaranteed, man. That's the loop every time, man. That's the challenge.
I'll be them talk. Let the player beware. Eric, throw something in the pot for us.
Real quick. You know, reading from an article that's relevant to, you know, cause and may show what's happening, you know, with the Eddie George sign, because there's some new money coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, okay, so look, 1 second, brothers. So I'll paraphrase, I won't read it. So recently, as early as April 6th, this article came out where due to land measures by the state of Tennessee, and how they were supposed to finance many projects for universities within the state, Tennessee State, the only state HBCU within the country on the state level, FISC is there, but it's private, they were ignored. And now it's come to pass that the state of Tennessee owes the Tennessee State University from land measure money dating all the way back to 1957 when my parents and students there, they owe them $500 million. Lord,
whoa. That is definitely two drinks.
$500 million is floating towards TSU, and the presidents of those involved were saying, we knew for a long time we weren't getting our proper funds, but now they're just trying to chop up the final numbers. But the current number starts at $500 million. So money that should have been given to Tennessee State University to finance various land measures, projects, buildings, university support that they were naturally entitled to as a state university.
Shit.
It all went to the University of Tennessee. They were denied since 1957. And that total by the state legislature, as they're doing their review and audits, they have confirmed at a minimum they need to grant Tennessee State University at least $500 million, which is $500 million.
Damn.
Get your recruiting on.
Book, wow.
We can build a new shrine to John Merritt and John McClendon.
Yes, indeed.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, you can do I mean, in other words, think about it. These students who went to school in the late 50s, right, you know, and some of those yearbooks are online, you know, I mean, these people are going to class like you thought they were going to work in business offices, right? Unbelievable polish. Such pride and esteem. Oh, my goodness. You know, those people went to school from 57, myself included, after years later, and others were entitled to get investiture rightly owned through taxpayer through the state of Tennessee, in that they denied them. It all went to the University of Tennessee. They didn't give Tennessee State a penny. Now the audits show they're entitled to at least $500 million.
This is definitely to be continued, guys. I'm running against clock. Reggie, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Gary, there you go. Throw something in the pot, young man. We're running out of clock.
Well, I'm just going to say that.
It's gonna be a Missouri Valley party. It's gonna go to Bay Oaks. It's gonna go to State Bison. It's gonna go to University of Lukies. And the South Dakota State Jackrabbits will all be in the subdivision playoffs this weekend. We got 5 teams in the playoffs football this weekend. Congratulations.
Congratulations indeed. All right, Reggie, what was that you were saying?
Yeah, I was saying that the doc made his house call, Julius Erving, with his all-star team. I don't know if you heard about this, but, of course, first team he had Oscar Robertson, the Big Dipper, Wilt Chandler, and he had, of course, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, where he doesn't get his props like he should, and Magic Johnson. On the second team, he didn't have a young man by the name of, that guy from Cleveland that's now with Laker tie, LeBron James. And when I was asked about it, he said, well, I didn't put him on because it was super team. I'm saying, Mr. Carter, Mr. Carter. Now, just look at World Be Free, Daryl Dawkins, Bobby Jones.
Loaded.
I mean,
they
you want to talk about the super
loaded.
Team?
Good point, Rev.
You know, come on. I mean, you know, what the ham sandwich
was
going on?
There were four Hall of Famers on that squad.
Thank you. Matiques and Johnson on board.
Yeah.
And the motor story was that they were loaded, but guess what? A team from Portland kind of spanked that ass a little bit.
He was surely on the super team, that sixer team. You are right.
Yeah, but don't tell Dr. J that, though.
Dr. J's very delusional.
Especially them Laker teams. Oh, my God.
And how many NBA titles did he win before Moses Malone got there? I'll wait.
Yeah, that's the only Hall of Famer. Thank you, C-Mac.
We owe you three.
Moses Malone, Maurice Cheeks, three Hall of Famers you played with. Last I checked, no one LeBron played with is going to the Hall of Fame yet.
Thank you. And I don't think anybody will, in all honesty, except maybe the Blade. I mean, the Brown, Anthony Davis.
Unless they can
D-Wade will be that one. And D-Wade, All right, Tony, throw something in the pot, please. Time
real
is against
quick.
Us.
Oh, real quickly, if you're near the internet at all, either tomorrow or Friday, please go to Black College Sports Network and watch and listen to the first annual Black College World Series. It is a conglomerate of NAIA Division II teams that are playing for the first time for a national championship of HBCU baseball. This is the first of its kind, started by a buddy of ours from Black College Nines, Michael Coker, and a bunch of other folks. And, again, first games tomorrow, I believe, begin at around 12 Central, which is 1 o'clock in the East. They're also holding a fun derby as well. So if you're a fan of baseball or a fan of HBCU sports, check it out and see what's great about this, guys. It's being played in a minor league stadium. I think it's like the AA affiliate for the Blue Jays. Major League scouts are there and everything else. It's a showcase that HBCU baseball deserves, and it finally got it, and I'm happy for all the folks involved.
Amen. That's a beautiful
nice
thing.
Reference. Yeah, nice reference.
Thank That's man. A beautiful thing. Gentlemen, we are at the hour. We'll see you tomorrow. Wash your hands, wash your ass, wear a mask. We out.